much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Nobody wants to hear a parody song when they can hear the real thing for the same price.
Two words. Eat it.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
B.I.G.
Hey, Bean, it's Kevin and Ralph and Lisa and
hey,
Beer
Bean.
Mug, the whole crew.
Yep.
And we just want to leave you a message. Hope you have a great, you're having a great vacation.
We were thinking of you. You know, we love you so much and we miss you so much. And we do have Weird Al here in the studio with us, and we know what a big fan you are. So we all thought we'd get together and give you a little gift while you're on vacation. We'd have Al leave you a little message. Apparently, he had something he really wanted to tell you, so we thought
he came in saying, I have to give Bean a message.
I'm so sorry Bean's not here. That's something I really need to talk to him about. So we figured we'd just put you guys together and let Al tell you what he needs to tell you.
So now for your listening pleasure, Bean, here's Weird Al.
Hey, Bean, it's Weird Al Yankovic. This is really important, man. I hope you don't mind me bugging
right,
you.
Hung up.
And now.
That is witty as all hell.
Our feature presentation.
That is witty as all hell.
Not really, but fun. It was fun.
It was a good time, yeah. As I recall.
Stupid Al. Paris instead of being able to talk to Weird Al. Man,
Al
that was a bad trade-off, I'll tell you that.
Al loved it. He was very happy to be here without you, your slobber.
How dare you?
Morning, Al, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean show on a Monday morning.
Yep.
Hey, Lisa.
Hey, Bean.
There you go. She's back. I was worried about her last week. She was a little sick after the car accident. Wasn't feeling so well. Now it sounds like she's back.
I feel good.
Now it sounds like the juices are flowing again.
Wow. This went south quick.
I don't think the juices ever stopped flowing.
Yeah.
It's more that my head kind of hurt and my neck is sore.
Right. Well, I don't care about either of those.
The juices
Listen,
are okay.
This story we were dying to get on the air last week, we didn't make it, so today we're going to force it in. 266-pound rugby player Chris Birch suffered a stroke during a freak training accident. His family feared it would be a life-changing injury. This is a real story, by the way. It just came out of the British newspaper, the Daily Mail, on November the 9th. Yet, while his recovery certainly brought about a transformation, it seems to have been in a way no one could have expected for when he regained consciousness. The 26-year-old who was engaged to his girlfriend said he had become gay.
Wait, what? Wait, what?
Yes, that's exactly my point.
He was a rugby player that went into a coma?
Yes, he went into a coma. He came out gay. First of all rugby and soccer players are probably gay anyway.
What?
But beyond that, apparently, yeah, he was trying to do some sort of, I don't have it here in front of me, but he was trying to do some sort of a backflip during practice and broke his neck.
Mm. Oh, my God.
And suffered a stroke and went into a coma. When he woke up, he said he was gay. He says, I was gay when I woke up, and I still am. It sounds strange, but when I came around, I immediately felt different. I wasn't interested in women anymore. I was definitely gay. I had never been attracted to a man in my life. I'd never even had any gay friends. So he has completely changed his life around, by the way. He was a part-time rugby player. He was not a professional, but he was working in a bank, and he quit that job, and now he has lost over 100 pounds, is working as a hairdresser, and is living with his boyfriend.
Oh,
this sounds way too good to be true. There's no way.
Well, I mean, we can try to get him on the show, I guess. But apparently, I've not heard of this instance before, but the Stroke Association spokesperson says, in a stroke, blood supplies to the brain are cut off, and in the area starved of oxygen, brain cells die and damage can be caused. But the brain is amazingly adaptable, and during recovery, it can make new neural connections, finding different pathways to help achieve the same thing. It's possible these neural connections can trigger other connections to things people weren't aware of, such as accents, language, or perhaps a different sexuality.
This is making insanely good sense to me.
they point out in this article, by the way, that another Brit from Malvern, Worcestershire, woke up from a stroke 2 years ago to find out he was able to paint and draw in incredible detail. He had no previous evidence of that skill before the stroke. He says that the experience flicked a switch in the creative part of his brain.
Yep. I'm going with no. I'm going with that's a long way to go to come out of the closet. Guy wants to come out of the closet. He's got to figure out how I'm going to do it. I'm going to break my neck. I'm going to go into a coma. When I come out, I'm going to go, hey, I'm gay.
I mean,
what do I have to do with it?
I guess it's possible, but it's also, is it possible that the stroke rewired him a little bit?
No.
Doesn't seem likely to me.
No. Don't you think it was there somewhere, and when he woke up from the stroke, he went, I am lucky to be alive. I am living the life I've always wanted to live.
If it's not completely fake.
I need to cut hair.
If it's not completely fake, I would believe that, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that are completely fake.
It could be completely fake.
Which part?
Yeah,
all of it. The whole story. What do you mean what? The whole story could be fake.
It could be, but also weird things happen in medicine that we can't begin to explain. Look, if you were hearing for the first time this guy could not paint or draw and now he's a world-class artist as a result of a stroke, you might think that's completely fake too, but I mean, that happened,
and
right?
There was someone, right, who woke up speaking a language they didn't know.
Yes, that happened too. And that's
Which
even weirder, by
so,
the way, because
yeah,
that's not that an makes... innate thing. That's something you have to learn. Nobody's born knowing how to use
and
a
language.
And
then this guy named Jason Bourne woke up and he had no idea who he was. And
okay,
he
but that
fight,
was just that was a
shoot.
Book and
what?
Then a movie. Huh? That was just a book. That was made up. Nice. I don't look, I'm not saying I know. I'm just saying I wonder if it's possible.
Made up.
You know, see, here's Kevin, he doesn't mind.
Here's the difference between Kevin and me. Kevin is 100% convinced there's no way this happens. I don't think it's true, but I think the possibility exists because I don't know any different. I'm no expert.
There's a possibility. It's just 1%.
You, Kevin's an expert. This is what you keep missing, Bean.
Bean?
I do forget about
it. Pay
that.
Attention. I know for a fact when I hear, I just have a good gut.
Yep.
And this is too good to be true. Right. It would be awesome if it was true. Let's try and
even
get hold
though,
of it. Let's try
even
and get
though
hold of it.
It's even though rugby and gay are in the same sentence, you still don't believe it because that seems likely.
Have you ever watched rugby?
I've also seen what they do when they get in piles.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
With some weird stuff going on.
It's a bizarre sport, but you look at the guys that play it, and you go, "No way are they gay."
Or no way could they ever admit they're gay.
Well, that's possible. That's possible.
The West Tigers North Queensland match last weekend seemed the usual fiery affair for Tigers star John Hopewade, until Cowboys officials lodged post-match complaints claiming contrary conduct. As the footage shows, Hopewade had adopted the unsavory tactic of inserting his finger into opponents' rectums.
Well, point for Lisa.
Yeah, that happens.
During a match. I like they call it contrary conduct. That's as strong as they could go for sticking your finger up someone's butt. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Oh, there it is.
We have Harvey Levin from TMZ.com.
They no funny.
We have, you have to listen to your roommates having sex, which apparently I'm...
Whoa, you got butt slammed.
I don't think that was that one. Beer mug has a problem. He's not getting sleep.
Oh, Mugs.
Neighbors are really going at it. And
neighbors? Roommates?
Roommates, sorry. I apologize.
Worse, closer.
We're also going to talk to a guy who walked through the Amazon. He walked the Amazon River, the entire thing.
Wow.
That's impressive.
Why?
And lived to tell the tale.
See, Bean and I both think the same way with that guy. What are you doing that for? Guest special, TV special on Discovery.
But I mean, you could ask the same thing about people who climb Mount Everest, too. Why?
I do.
Sometimes people just, they got to do it, I guess.
So I hear that's true. We are also going to, we have a break called Let's Make Fun of Bean today.
Oh, come on.
Don't we have a break like that every day?
We do.
Yes, we do.
I think it's a special one. It's a few added elements to this. And I think we're all going to enjoy it very much. All meaning everyone but Bean. And at 7:15 today, details on the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2011.
All right.
And that's Dickie the Punchline Donkey.
Dickie the Punchline Donkey on the radio.
In the
morning.
FM.
And that guy too. All right.
Yeah.
What are 6.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's 10 minutes till 6. And this is the Kevin and Bean Show.
And unfortunately, it is Monday, but fortunately, Ralph Garman is here with our first look at the showbiz beat for the week. What's going on?
You know what we do on Mondays?
Right.
We look at the box office.
Yes.
We look to see what movies were hot this weekend, what people were going to check out with their hard-earned dollars, and looked like The Immortals was the winner this weekend. $32 million in its debut weekend. Did very well for itself. That Henry Cavill.
And it was terrible, right? I mean, isn't that the word on the street?
I loved it.
Awful, awful movie?
No, that's not what I heard at all. I heard it's,
oh, really?
It's an excellent adventure film from my friends.
It's funny because I can love it, and it can be just a horribly reviewed movie, so that's not really a tell. But I really liked it a lot, except for Frida Pinto is in it.
Yes, she is.
Unbelievably hot. They should spend a little less time rubbing oil on the men, a little more time with her scene where she gets in the shower.
Hey, listen, man.
How about that?
Why do you want to kill my buzz? I like oiled up men.
I'm just saying.
I like that 300 vibe.
Immortals was 38% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, someone's got to take that website away from Beam.
They do.
It doesn't have anything to do with me. I'm just saying in general, it's a nice place to go for an overview. That's
all. Here's a great thing about a film like that. It's hard to be awful when you are that kind of film, because the draw for that kind of film is swords clashing against shields. And
the people that go don't care about...
Yeah, you're not looking for Oscar-winning dialogue in those particular cases. You're looking for a rollicking good time in 3D. And my friends, I didn't get a chance to see it this weekend, but my friends saw it, said it delivered. That's exactly what they were looking for, and that's what they got. And it looks like people were happy with the $32 million worth. Hey, second, you want to have a problem? You want to start a problem? You want to have a problem?
What?
Jack and Jill was second in the box office this weekend with $26 million.
Oh, what, zero what, Jack and
what
Jill?
What the F are people thinking there? Wow. $26 million worth of you went to see that movie? What the fuck?
You can't use that language.
I just did.
I know, but you can't.
That's
you can't
insane.
You can't say
that. How did people look at that trailer and go, hell yeah, sign me up. Hey, honey, call a babysitter. We're going to go see Adam Sandler play himself and his twin sister.
Yeah.
Come on!
That movie must have goodwill built up from past success. That's the only answer.
He could cure cancer, and there wouldn't be enough goodwill to make me go see that movie.
That's my kind of movie. And I
hate you.
But I wasn't interested and didn't go.
Now I love you.
That's the kind of movie that I usually would go to, but...
Even you could tell, though,
yes,
right?
Yes.
That there was no redeeming features in there. What premise could be less funny than have Adam Sandler play himself and his sister?
None,
and she's really obnoxious, and she sure is mannish and rides a bull and things.
Yep. No thanks.
Now, this is why he stopped trying, because he doesn't have to. It's just easier to release crap, and people will spend $26 million on it in its opening weekend.
I don't know.
I am stunned. I said, okay, here's where America sends Adam Sandler a message. That's what I thought on Friday.
Finally time to give him a slap across the face.
Puss in Boots came in third, $25.5 million. Tower Heist was fourth, J. Edgar. $11.5 million worth of business. I guess a lot of people don't really care about the guy who started the FBI.
Tell you, the old Jewish guy that got was yelling at me?
In the theater?
Yeah.
Yelling at me.
Why was he playing? He's not old enough.
Yeah.
It's like, what am I, a casting agent? Why are you yelling at me, sir?
Harold and Kumar's 3D Christmas came in at number six. Then In Time, Paranormal Activity, Footloose, and Real Steel. Rounding out your top 10 at the box office this week. And speaking of Real Steel and robot boxing, did you catch the Manny Pacquiao fight this week?
Did.
That was a good fight.
Nyee.
What do you mean, nyee?
I mean, if
those guys stood there round after round
and looked at each other,
throwing blows. What?
And then occasionally
looking at each other.
If you took away
the first two rounds, they felt each other out. The rest of the fight, they were trading blows.
If you took away the I'm posing and I'm head faking and I'm fainting and I'm just about to throw a punch, you took all that away, you'd have about a minute.
Did you watch the fight?
The whole thing. Yes.
With whom? Were you distracted?
The entire fight.
Okay, well, let me go back and show you the fight where you watch Manny Pacquiao's head snapping back from uppercuts for about eight rounds.
That happened once or twice a round, maybe, and then the other 2 minutes and 59
seconds
was posing.
We'll go to CompuBox and we'll see how many punches were thrown and how many landed, Kevin. There were about 70 to 75 punches thrown each round. Yeah. About 50% of those hard power shots were landing.
No, that's not true.
It is actually true. It turns out to be a fact.
Hang on, let me look at my paper. No, not true.
Wow.
No, it was a boring fight. Yeah, it wasn't a boring fight, but they could have fought more. They didn't fight very much. They were too afraid of each other.
Oh, I don't know what you're talking about, man.
I'm talking about...
I think Manny was exposed, though. I think...
me too.
Mayweather was sitting at home saying, okay, I'll fight him now. Yeah, yeah. Now I see. Now I see how it works. Counterpunching is his weakness.
On the other hand, the one-hour show of the UFC on Saturday night...
I'm sorry, I went to get a beer and I came back and I missed it.
Yeah.
So I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah,
I bet Fox is glad they invested in that.
It's a minute 10. Guy got knocked out in one punch. Boom!
Yeah, so anyway, let me show you that package we showed you before, the first half hour, about their touching life stories.
That was rough.
How about Bill O'Reilly? He's magical. He's written a new book called Killing Lincoln. About the death of the 16th president, that'd be Abraham Lincoln, Kevin.
And he was for that, right, if I recall correctly?
I don't believe he takes a stand for or against. It's supposed to be a factual accounting for what happened. The events of that evening at the legendary Ford's Theater, of course. other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how did you like the play? The Ford Theater itself, the historic site that commemorates the assassination of Abraham Lincoln, says, after reading the book, it is so factually flawed, it shouldn't be sold in bookstores.
All right.
They claim, amongst other things, the TV commentator made mistakes about, was Riley talking about the Oval Office, but Abraham Lincoln in the Oval Office. Turns out the Oval Office wasn't built until 1909. So Abe probably wasn't hanging out in there, since he was well dead by the time they built it.
Hmm. It's an odd choice anyway, isn't it?
It is.
As, yeah. as a topic for a book. I don't know if
people are dying to hear what happened about Lincoln's death. But turns out the no-spin zone may be the no-fact zone sometimes. You never know. Did you get a $79,000 Range Rover as a birthday present when you turned 16? Anybody? Anybody?
Yes, not me.
Oh, you know what? Now that I think about it, no, I didn't.
Anybody get their Range Rover? That's what Kendall Jenner got. She, of course, the next generation of fame-seeking whores out of the Kardashian clan.
Wow.
At her sixth Sweet 16 birthday party over the weekend, they presented her with her $80,000 Range Rover. They're not setting her up for disappointment in the future, are they?
No.
When you're 16 and you're driving a Range Rover?
No.
The entire family was there, of course, including Kim, who flew back from the set of Tyler Perry's Marriage Counselor, where she is filming her her big role in that movie.
Second big movie role.
Everything is wrong with this story.
It really is. It's the bizarro world we've landed on. Had I known they were all one place, I would have voted up a drone strike, but I had no idea.
Yeah.
That's why they don't tell me this stuff in advance.
What does Kim Kardashian know about anything to do with marriage counseling either, by the way?
That's true.
Her idea of marriage counseling is, hey, let's quit.
Well, apparently in the film, she plays a best friend to the lead who is cheating. The lead is cheating on her husband, and so Kim is like her sassy work girlfriend who helps her cheat.
Ah, I see.
So it's more along the lines of what we get to know and love. And how much would you pay for a comic book?
None.
Well, I would pay significantly more than that, but I think they even reached the ceiling of my affection for comic books. Nicolas Cage is auctioning off his copy of Action Comics number 1. Those of you out there in the know can appreciate the fact that this is the very first appearance of Superman in a comic book. He is selling the comic, well, let's say right now, as of today, and the auction for this comic ends on November the 30th. The price this morning was $1.3 million.
Wow.
Insiders say it's on pace to break the current record, which is $1.5 million.
No way. Not ever.
A comic. That was for another less well-preserved copy of Action Comics number 1. It wasn't as good shape as Nick's copy, so they're predicting it'll go in further, maybe up to the $2 million mark.
If you had the money, would you do it, Ralph?
I wouldn't.
Yes,
I think I would.
Would.
I think I would.
If you had the
because
money,
it's
so
a phenomenal investment.
If you had the money that it was nothing, if
right.
you had $500
million. It was nothing, then yeah, then I'd probably pick
you
it
would.
Up.
You would.
It's a great investment, right?
I'm not a big Superman guy. If it was a Detective Batman. Comics number 27 or Batman number 1 or something, I'd absolutely snap it up. But yeah, if money was no object, sure. Because as Bean mentions, they're not making any more of them. The price isn't going to go down. If you ever want to offload it, you'll make your money then some. So.
Yeah, people are still going to like Superman in 100 years, you know? So, it's worth it.
Worst episode ever.
No, it's a good episode. Today's celebrity birthdays. Reverend Run of Run DMC is 47 years old today. Patrick Warburton, our friend from Family Guy. And of course, he was also the Tick on Seinfeld as Putty. He is 47 years old as well. Josh Duhamel from Las Vegas and from the Transformers movies is 39. Travis Barker of Blink-182 celebrates his 36th birthday. Tobin Esperance of Papa Roach is 32 years old today. And our very own Bean Baxter celebrates his birthday today. Happy birthday, Bean. Did you call ahead to Denny's and make a reservation? Do they know you're coming?
You know what? When I go at 3:30, it's not that busy, so they got room for me.
Yeah. You just have to push the oxygen tanks and the wheelchairs out of the way to get to your table. That's all. Happy birthday, Bean. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
Next hour, right here on this show, because it wouldn't make any sense to do it on any other show, because we're the one that's on K-Rock. The 22nd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas details. We're talking about when and where and who and how. All of that coming up a little over an hour from right now here on the Kevin Beach Show. First, though, let's take a look at some of your email on every topic under the sun that we talk about on the show. Sometimes even stuff we miss. You can write to us. Go to kevinandbean.com or krock.com. You can get all of our email addresses. Let me start with a rare compliment for us, Kevin. Oh, wait, you weren't on this day that this guy's writing about. So I'm listening to the podcast when you had your transsexual guest on last week, and I'm kind of confused. The Kevin and Bean Show is addressing complex, risky topics with sensitivity, intelligence, and even maturity. Meanwhile, Dr. Drew now basically is doing a TV version of a supermarket tabloid. My world has turned upside down. What's next? Is Muggs going to do a half-hour sit-down with the president? You're going to be doing segments on burgeoning democratic movements in the Middle East. I hope Dr. Drew can find some use for all those Family Guy drops and Omar's reggaeton horn. We'll sure miss him on your show.
How dare you?
Seriously, though, great job with Megan's segment. It's nice to know that my favorite morning show guys have a little NPR hiding inside them somewhere. Just don't bring it out too often. Keep up the good work, and thanks for all the laughs. Matt in Santa Cruz.
That is fantastic.
Exactly.
This one comes to us from Christian and was just talking about Ralph Showbiz Beat about 10 minutes ago.
Oh.
When Ralph said, what the F? Christian writes, yay, that woke me up. I love it when HBO Ralph crosses over into the radio. I never thought of him as HBO Ralph before, but I like it.
I think they're referring to the Hollywood Babylon is what they mean by that, HBO.
Oh, gotcha.
You see what I'm saying? It's not, not the network. It's because that's because Ralph's able to use that kind of language in the podcast he does with Kevin Smith. Here's a couple of emails on the topic we were having last week about...
Wait, he does a podcast?
Talking last week about virgins who get to be in their 20s and in their 30s and in their 40s, and for whatever reason, they haven't been able to seal the deal. Hey, guys, my brother is 42. He's never had an actual girlfriend. He's much more into computer games than actual people. He's always been very awkward with people, but online, he seems completely normal and interacts well with others. As far as I can tell, he's not interested in having a girlfriend either. I suspect Asperger's. He's also far too cheap to consider a girl for hire. That's Christina. And then here's an interesting theory from Gail. I think a lot of 20-somethings today have been overly scheduled by their parents since kindergarten. They rarely are left at home alone, socializing with no play dates. Their interaction with peers is online mostly. No wonder there are so many awkward virgins out there. They have lost the ability to have face-to-face social skills, says Gail. I don't know if there's anything in that, but I do think that there are an awful lot more people who are socializing a lot more online rather than face-to-face. She may be onto something.
Diane wrote, oh, man, I'm sitting here at work listening to this poor Rich. Oh, just give him my phone number. I'll give him the GFE.
All right.
Just got that today, so sorry. Sorry, dude that hasn't had sex in his life.
Oh, well.
Here's one on the Nickelback petition guy that we talked to last week. He started a petition in Detroit to try to stop Nickelback from playing the Thanksgiving Day game there just because, well, they suck. And he has tens of thousands of people who have signed. The NFL, by the way, has come out and said that Nickelback is still on. They are going to be playing. This is one of our Canadian listeners named Nolan. I'm glad some people down in Detroit have the good sense and taste to try to stop Nickelback from performing at the Lions game on Thanksgiving. Unfortunately, the CFL, our near professional football league here, have decided to have these punks play at halftime at our championship game in Vancouver. It was a tragedy. First, Vancouver had to endure a bad goalie in the NHL playoffs. Then there's a riot after the NHL playoffs. Then our city was shamed by having a picture of Vancouver on the cover of a Nickelback album. Now we're being shamed by having them play halftime at the championship game hosted in this city. I can only anticipate another riot. I've already been to the website. I've signed the petition for Detroit. Hmm. Let's minimize the damage Nickelback can inflict on the public. Kindest regards, says Nolan. Somebody tweeted yesterday after the Lions were destroyed by the Bears that Nickelback was now considering pulling out of the game because they don't want to be associated with Detroit, which I thought was very funny.
Dear Kevin and Bean, I filled out the online form to the San Manuel Free Poker Tournament for last Tuesday on your website. After I completed the form, it said, check your email. I've checked my email daily and have not received anything. Just wondering what I should do next. Thanks. P.S. What? Been a longtime listener and love the show. Love Scrapple.
Oh, Scrapple.
So it's just, I know, Kyle, I have to screen the people that get in, and Kyle's bad people. So check your email. You keep looking. It'll be there.
Oh, no, so you decide.
Don't worry. It'll be there sometime this week or next.
Isn't the event Thursday night, though?
Maybe.
So if it shows up next week?
Maybe.
Here's another football-related email, and I love Daryl's idea. It's time to start the process, gentlemen. For as long as I can remember, the halftime artist at the Super Bowl has balone. By the way, I take exception to that because they have had artists like Tom Petty and Bruce Springsteen and others in recent years as well. But yeah, a lot of time it's something that nobody wants to watch. They either parade out an aging rock legend or a pop group promoting their latest. It's time for some real entertainment. I say Weird Al Yankovic for the halftime performance at Super Bowl 46 in Indianapolis. Release the hounds, Daryl.
That would be unbelievable.
It would
be so great.
And who wouldn't like it?
Everybody would like it. Everybody. Either you're already a Weird Al fan or you just haven't been exposed to Weird Al enough to realize that you're a Weird Al fan. Those are the only two types of people in the world. It would be amazing if they did that.
I don't think they're going for somebody everybody would like. I really don't. I think they're just going for a completely different audience than you. They have football fans.
Right.
They've got you already. So let's go somewhere else.
Yeah.
They want the ladies.
End up with Nickelback.
And finally, we get a lot of email about our man Beer Mug. Here's one from Dan. Please make sure to secure your morning show wins yet another Marconi Award by sending Beer Mug to the red carpet Twilight deal on Monday. Make
that
sure
is
no
fantastic.
Make sure no one allows him to prep prior to arriving. Well, there's no danger of that. Please make sure nobody teaches him how to use the properly use the recording equipment as usual.
That is fantastic.
Thanks, guys, and shut the hell up, Bean. Hey, wait a minute. you'll be happy to know that we did try to get Beer Mug on the red carpet, and I don't know if it had anything to do with hearing his previous red carpet work, but he was denied.
That is fantastic.
He was denied. They said, no thanks, we're full.
Dear Kevin and Bean, I've been a listener since the beginning. Yes, I know that's sad. I was listening to the Beer Mug interviews recently. I'm here to bust open the biggest K-Rock secret ever. Insert shocking music here. Beer Mug, I say, does not exist. Yes, I said it. Beer Mug is just a voice that Kevin does. There is no way that one radio station, much less one radio show, can have two people that incapable of speaking. I'm sorry. It's just not possible.
That is awesome. That is awesome.
A lot of props for a great character. Did you really think we wouldn't figure it out? Look, don't worry. I won't stop listening to anything. Just stop lying to your listeners. Popo Zal, says Craig. And finally, here's the last one for Beer Mug. Happy Drewvember, everyone. This one begins. I wasn't even aware it was Drewvember already. Huh. I just want to say that Beer Mug has been doing a piss poor job since he started on the show. It's gotten to the point where I am annoyed, not only by what he says, but also missed audio cues and general F-ups throughout the show.
Yeah.
However, it has become very obvious that Bean has also become more annoyed with Beer Mug with each passing day, and this has turned things around for me. Now I very much enjoy hearing the anger in Bean's voice more and more. It's hard to decide whether I like hearing Bean's disgust with Beer Mug more than hating Beer Mug's lack of humor and professionalism. Who knows how this will shake out? I certainly don't see Beer Mug getting any better anytime soon. Sincerely, a longtime fan, Yuchi.
Yeah! Ladies and gentlemen, when you think of composers, John Williams, Danny Elfman, Hans Zimmer come to mind. But I am standing here with the composer of Harold and Kumar.
I know all those guys, and they're wonderful.
What's his name?
Ladies and gentlemen, Ross Williams, the composer of a very Harold and Kumar. William Ross, I'm sorry. Sorry, William.
Yay, Beer Mug.
Magic, that is Beer Mug.
Or me.
Ladies and gentlemen. Who you want? Kevin, I know you love Radiohead. You know they're doing a tour in 2012.
All right.
Playing Atlanta, Houston, Dallas, St. Louis, Kansas City, all the cities you regularly want to go to.
I liked the Radiohead, but I liked it. I know this is not hip to say, but I liked them a little more when they wrote, I don't know, songs.
No. Songs are so 20th century.
I really just did. So
anyway, we'll see if they expand the tour dates to include Southern California. So far, new. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show here on a Monday. We do have the details on the 22nd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas coming up next hour. First, though, Kevin, you got a way we can spend a lot of money?
Yeah, this place called Umami.
Umami. Yeah.
It's a restaurant where you can get a hamburger. So think of all the restaurants that you've gone to, the hamburgers, you know how much they cost, whatever's on them, whatever they're made of. They cost $100. They have a $100 hamburger.
What could possibly be on that hamburger?
Thank you for asking, Lisa. It has grass-fed Wagyn. What does that mean, Bean? W-A-G-Y-N?
It's Y-U, but my only guess was that it must be some sort of cow, some sort of exotic cow, maybe?
Foie gras on it. It has a quarter inch of shaved truffles. I don't know. Somehow
truffles are expensive.
They make it a $100 burger, but you have to call ahead and let them know. It's not on the menu. You just have to know about it so that you can spend that much money on a hamburger.
You were in a Umami recently, right, Lisa?
I was.
And did not see this on the menu because it's super secret.
Yeah, I mean, it's an expensive burger place, but it's nothing. Nothing like that.
Well, we wanted to find out more about this, so we asked producer Dave to line us up. Oops, that's not even the right button.
No.
And I believe we have the manager of Umami on the phone. This is Niles Gentry joining us here on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Niles.
Good morning. How are you?
How are you today?
I'm great. How are you guys?
We're good. Thank you. We just covered that.
So Umami has been really blowing up in Southern California. You got a bunch of locations. I know you're in Northern California as well, but it looks like it's the business is doing really well for you.
We're doing phenomenally well. People know that we only serve the finest in foods, and if they want something delicious, they come to us.
Now, how many of these $100 burgers have you sold?
Oh, about a million of them.
Oh, you have not.
About a million served.
We're
not like McDonald's. We have to brag about in our sign or anything.
I don't think you've sold a million.
Rich people with taste and people who know the difference between quality and stuff that's not quality, they know that it is a secret off-the-menu burger that they can order, and the MNO burger is wildly popular with our more exclusive clientele, not like you people,
but
people with class and money come here.
What is the MNO burger?
Money, no object. So for $100, they get a delicious burger made of, as you mentioned, grass-fed Wagyu beef, not Wagyu.
I don't know.
Not even close.
I don't know.
Wagyu beef is, of course, beef from Japan.
Okay.
The cows are fed grass and massaged with sake on a regular basis.
Oh,
they're delicious and tender, and then we put a beautiful slab of foie gras on there, and it's also got a rich port reduction sauce on top of it with the truffles as well. It's a fantastic burger. and people with class and distinction and money really seem to enjoy it, and I don't know why I'm bothering talking to you.
Well, we're just asking about your burger. We just saw the advertisement.
Like you'll ever order one.
Well, we won't, because no burger's worth $100.
More of my time wasted.
All right.
Mr. Gentry, let me ask you this. I mean, you've seen these riots that are going on, this Occupy movement in the country. I mean, the 99% are always bitching. The 1% just seem to get richer and richer and richer. Do you anticipate this area, this high-end area of your restaurant menu continuing to grow?
Actually, I do. In fact, we've got an entire line of off-menu burgers that are just flying out the doors.
Is that right?
Funny you should mention that Occupy Wall Street thing. For $350, you can get our human burger.
Which
is made from 99% human flesh.
You can't serve that.
It's known as the Occupy Burger.
That's gross.
We've got a program here we called Occupy Umamis, and we told them that it was some sort of protest, and a bunch of unbathed liberals showed up.
Right.
And we've got them in the back, and every once in a while we just grab one and slaughter them, and put them in a burger for $350. In honor of their memory, the burger is 99% human flesh, and then just 1% filler, which is mostly ground-up old mortgages. For $500, you can get the Poodle Burger.
Oh, no.
A poodle burger?
We've got a tank in the dining room. It's like a lobster tank filled with poodle puppies. And you just find the puppy that you want.
No.
You grab it out of the tank.
No one does
we
that.
We snap its neck there in front of you at the
Nobody
table.
Nobody does
oh, come
that.
On.
We
this
take
is
it in the
horrible.
Back and make you the poodle burger. Now, the good news is, because it's poodle, it is non-allergenic. So you won't have any food allergies if you eat the $500 poodle
burger.
Have
you sold any of those?
100 million burgers
you
have gone out the door.
Niles, you can't kill dogs
for
and people.
For $650, we've got the art burger for people who are very artistic, unlike you.
The art burger.
Who are great and also appreciate fine art. It's not a burger, but it is a limited edition lithograph picture of a burger.
Right.
You get to hang on your wall. You take it home, and it feeds your soul.
And how much is that?
$650.
$650.
For $800, we've got the California Condor Burger, very popular.
Okay, that's an endangered species. It's illegal to kill those.
It's only legal if they catch you, my friend.
Well.
And I'll have you know, the mayor orders one almost every day for lunch. So what does that tell you?
Is that right?
That the condors are just about gone.
We've got the Platinum Package, which is the Platinum Burger. That's $1,150. That is a 100% U.S. Angus burger that's delivered to you by my niece, who gives you a happy ending. And then, of course, we've got the Plutonium Package for $2,500.
Yes.
And that is literally a burger made of plutonium. It is a plutonium isotope 236.
That doesn't give you radiation poisoning?
It
or
sure
anything?
Does.
It does.
I'll tell you. That's a burger you remember forever.
Not a lot of repeat customers
and
on that
one? And the half-life on plutonium 236 is like 24,000 years, so you won't get hungry again after that. It just stays in your stomach forever. It's
Sounds
a great
good.
Investment if you just, you know, if you're on a diet. A lot of models order it.
Sure.
Because they get, they stay fed, and then they also, you know, they get radiation sickness, which makes them very thin and very pale.
Oh,
sure.
Very
that's what they're
popular
looking for.
With
exactly.
The model crowd that comes here to a mommy.
Yeah, a lot of good items there.
Thank you.
His name is Ed Stafford. He is walking the Amazon. That's the river, don't you know, in Portugal, right, Kevin? Isn't it down in Portugal in South America?
How dare you? I'm sure glad you guys booked this guy, because you're going to be able to talk to a guy who walks a lot. That should be fascinating.
It's going to be a good interview.
Hey, what are you doing? Did you walk a lot along the Amazon? That's a long river. You must have walked a lot.
Yeah, I did.
That's coming up right after the top of the hour.
What kind of shoes did you wear when you walked?
We scheduled that, Ralph. We scheduled that for 7 o'clock because we know we'll have a lot of people tuning in for the announcement about the 22nd annual K-Rock Almost Christmas. We want to make sure to hit it with something strong.
I like it. It's a good idea. Spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down,
exactly.
I guess.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. Coming up in the next half hour or so.
Let's talk about Creepy Bean, shall we?
Oh, yes, please.
Let's talk about Creepy Bean because this seems to happen a lot, and Bean doesn't seem to understand what's going on. He doesn't seem to understand what's creepy.
I don't think he can help himself, quite frankly.
I don't either.
So it makes me just sad more than anything.
What's happened is that you guys have created a fantasy character that you call Creepy Bean,
right?
Based on the types of questions that I sometimes ask our guests, which are identical to the questions Ralph might ask or Kevin might ask.
But you make it up
so that it sounds like I'm being creepy when I'm not.
No, see, that's the phenomenon. That's what we've discussed, is the fact that you do say things that any of us would say in a given situation.
Most of the time.
Sometimes they're wildly inappropriate.
Some of the time it's just way out there. Like, for example, when we were talking to Emmanuel Shrieky.
Right.
Remember, we had her on, we were talking about Entourage. Here's a little clip.
Here's the next question about Sloane as we get to know Sloane this season on Entourage. Does she have a webcam? Hello?
No, that was just a pause. I wasn't ready where you were going.
Oh, that's very disappointing.
Okay, yeah, that's disappointing for us, too.
It was wildly inappropriate.
She was not connected to nothing.
She
was so stunned, she had nothing to say.
Okay, but correct me if I'm wrong here to make sure I'm following the thread of this conversation. Sloane is unbelievably hot on Entourage, right?
Yeah,
yes.
Right.
So wouldn't a webcam just be awesome?
Yes.
We all think that inside our heads.
But there's ways to bring it up, and then there are other ways to maybe not even bring it up. But if you do, don't do it the way Bean does it.
Maybe not leap from. So it's the final season of Entourage. When's Sloane get a webcam?
You have a webcam?
Yeah, I'm Bean.
We had Sarah Wayne Callies on the program, who, of course...
Walking Dead, right?
The Walking Dead, right. And this is Bean.
Zombies don't have sex, though, right?
You do seem to get that answer all the time, Bean. Does that not worry you? When they go...
We were discussing how zombies live and how they die.
Yeah.
And do they make more? It was kind of a natural progression out of the conversation we were having.
See, Bean doesn't understand.
When there's attractive women involved in the interview, you seem to shoehorn odd sex questions every opportunity. I think that's the weirdness
I would have asked that same question if we were talking to the guy who wrote the original graphic novel, though, because we were talking about how zombies procreate, how they continue to make more.
And I was thinking about this over the weekend. I think the weirdness is that Ralph and I are stupid enough to have the ridiculous level of confidence that we might actually make whatever happen, and Bean doesn't care. You know what I mean? Like, if we say something to a girl, that goes along with the understanding that I'm going to make her want to do that.
With Bean, he's like,
it's a webcam. I'm going to put it in there whether you like it or not.
There's that factor. You know what I mean?
I see what you're saying.
I don't care about reality. I'm just going to make things happen.
No, don't do that. Remember Yvonne Strahovski where we were talking about Killer Elite? Yeah.
Is there any other kind of action in the film? Are you and Jason? I mean, is it that kind of movie, too?
Oh, well, I mean, there's some kissing involved.
Yeah. You'll have to excuse being the pervert, Yvonne. We apologize.
No, I didn't know what kind of love scenes there might be to look forward to. That's all.
It's the leaps. It's from, hey, this is an action film.
It is a leap.
Is there any other kind of action in there? It's like the guy who just finds the sex in any situation.
Trying to help her sell her movie.
You weren't helping her
sell her movie. You don't care about her. Oh, yeah, you care about her and her project and how she's doing selling it. Please. So we made you a little song, Bean. Bean's a creep.
He's a creep you can't ignore.
Girl, when are you going to let me tap that ass?
He had a tube in his eye. You're just like a douchebag.
You. Nope. Nope.
You make all the girls cry.
Zombies don't have sex, though, right?
You have Asperger's.
People love good phone numbers.
You make women wanna hurl.
Ooh, 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 ooh. Looking good.
He'll speak very sexual.
Are there any benefits at all, like with the ladies?
So creepy and sexual.
That you have two heads, two mouths?
And Bean's a creep.
That was creepy, right?
Yeah. That was creepy.
Bean's a weirdo.
We're on the sausage hunt right now.
Breathing heavy into his mic. Bean is so creepy.
I'm not creepy.
Bean's really the worst.
I'm
believe I'm going to stick my fist up your...
I'll ask you to get naked.
Is there any other kind of action in the film? Are you and Jason? I mean, is it...
He wants to see your body.
Is it that kind of movie, too?
This man is perverted.
You'll have to excuse being the pervert.
He makes people nauseous. Whenever he's around.
These two, I know they're 19 because they're hella hot.
He'll speak very sexual.
I need somebody to pee on me. Does anybody have to pee?
So creepy and sexual.
She has a boob out, that's all. That's I had to mention that, that's all.
Beans are great, he's so
not a winner. Not a winner. Not a winner. Not a winner. So there you go. That's
wow.
That's Beans a creep.
Why? Why would you do this? What did I ever do to any of you to make you say those incredibly hurtful things?
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, a half hour away from details on the 22nd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. So keep listening for those.
Coming up. Yeah, details, I think, is what you mean. Who's going to be playing? Just a half hour away from Almost Christmas, which isn't really happening in a half an hour, but we are going to give the details about when the show is and who's going
to
be on the bill and
I
when you can buy tickets and all
the
that.
The bands
kind of
are in the parking lot now, tuning up.
How do you know?
Okay, well, that is a surprise to me then. That's on the way right now. Ralph joins us for the Showbiz Beat on a Monday. Kevin and Bean Show, what's going on?
Because it's Monday, we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office to try to put our fingers on the pulse of what people are watching in theaters. If this is a an indicator.
Good things ahead?
I'm telling you, this is the pulse. We may need a pacemaker. We'll get to number two in a second. But number one, Immortals did very well in its debut weekend. $32 million made it number one in the box office. Right behind that, Jack and Jill in its debut weekend made $26 million. I would like to do a break of people phoning in defending Jack and Jill, why they went.
Who went?
I just want to talk to people who went.
Liked it or didn't like it?
Doesn't matter. I want to know anyone who spent their money on Jack and Jill this weekend. I'd love to talk to them. And then I'd like to slap their genitals. That's what I would like to do. We can manage that somehow. Maybe we bring them in so I can just slap their genitals.
All right.
A third was Puss in Boots, $25.5 million. Tower Heist and J. Edgar rounded out the top five. Harold and Kumar's 3D Christmas Extravaganza, $5.9 million. Made it number six. In Time, Paranormal Activity 3, Footloose, and Real Steel rounded out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. Well, good news. Good news. Zoe Saldana has split up with her fiancé, Keith Britton, after 11 years.
Whoa.
Fiance after 11 years.
Yeah,
wow.
They've been together for 11 years, engaged for the past couple, and of course, their separation was amicable, and the pair remains best of friends.
I got next.
Of course.
No one called it.
Oh.
Burn.
Do you know what this guy looks like, Kevin?
I think he means on Zoe Saldana.
Oh, on Zoe. I'm sorry.
Not
I wasn't
for the
sure.
Guy. Yeah.
I didn't clarify, though.
Justin Bieber's auctioning off his Johnson for charity.
His what?
His Johnson.
His Johnson?
Yes.
Does that refer to his...
Johnson, of course, is the name of his pet boa constrictor.
Mm.
Remember the snake he brought with him to the MTV Video Music Awards?
Yeah, what a douche.
He is a major douchebag. Oh, I'm going to carry around a snake all night.
Look at me with
aren't
a snake.
Aren't I clever? And I call my snake Johnson. You want to see my Johnson? Hey, you want to see my Johnson? See this?
What a dumb douchebag.
See the snake I'm holding? It's Johnson. You want to see it? You want to hold my Johnson? You want to see my Johnson?
You want to pet it?
Oh, flamethrower. Flamethrower! He's auctioning it off. All proceeds will go to Bieber's favorite nonprofit charity, Pencils of Promise.
What?
That is a charity.
For people with little penises?
No, for people who don't have pencils.
Oh.
What do you do? What do you do?
Promise.
What do you do when you're trying to fill out one of those standardized tests where you got to fill in a circle with a number two pencil and you don't have any pencils?
Blood. You got to draw blood. That's how they do it.
So. Current price for the snake? What do you think? What's the auction at?
Who knows?
$2,000 for Justin's
Johnson. And because Justin cares, the New York Daily News reports, the Snake's new owner will have to sign a personal injury and limited liability release, guaranteeing that the necessary vet care will be provided for Johnson the Snake. The welfare of this snake is the sole responsibility of the adopter.
What's happening right now? What's going on?
We're talking about Justin Bieber's snake.
Look, I'm a believer, as you know. I'm a fan of the man. But I got no time for people who use animals. I got no time for people who use animals as props or publicity stunts. If he wasn't going to get a snake and take care of it as a pet, he shouldn't have gotten a snake at all.
He's a douche.
That's my ruling.
I'm going to buy it and deep fry it like a churro and put sugar on it and eat it in front of him. That's what my plan is. And the other Justin, Timberlake, the talented one.
The good Justin.
He ditched his girlfriend Jessica Biel on Saturday night. It was all for a good cause. As promised, he attended the Marine Corps ball.
How about that?
Huh. Lisa.
Wasn't he busy, though? Did he have a lot of busy things he had to busily do?
No, he didn't. He is very busy, but he took time out because he loves the Marine Corps and all the Marines who are defending our freedom on shores.
USA! 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 USA!
Justin went with Corporal Kelsey DeSantis in Richmond, Virginia. Justin said, I thought about pawning her off on someone else, setting her up with an evening with another date and a limo and an entire package. But I decided that I would do the right thing, being an American and loving America and not being a Al-Qaeda terrorism lover like some other people are, he said in a prepared statement.
You couldn't pawn her off onto someone else who would be better than Justin Bieber.
I don't know what you're defending yourself, Lisa. I'm just talking about Justin Timberlake here. That's all.
Timberlake, not Bieber.
Yeah.
But let me make sure I understand. Justin Timberlake, who is busy acting in movies and recording
music.
And doing charity work and commercials and
golfing,
all the stuff that he does.
Everything he does, yes.
All the things he does. Found time not only for this Marine, but to fly across the freaking country, not to drive 2 hours to a dance.
Right.
I see.
Okay. Didn't find time, took time out, Dean. I think that's the point. Made time. Carved time out of the
Loves America.
Schedule. Loves America. Loves the Marines.
I think
loves the armed services.
But that's just me.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Reverend Run of Run DMC is 47 years old today, as is Patrick Warburton, my buddy from Family Guy and The Tick and Seinfeld. By the way, last night's Family Guy, more trouble today, more heat on Family Guy today from last night's episode. But last night's episode, Stewie and Brian go back in time to the first episode of Family Guy. They went back to the pilot, which is funny because the drawing is much cruder and the characters aren't really developed yet and the voices are different. So they're making like, well, this is odd. I don't remember Meg sounding like that because it was a different actress before. Wow, she sounds like a woman who's about to give up a huge opportunity. So they go back to 1999 and Brian tells past Brian, he warns about 9/11. So Brian stops 9/11.
Right.
Which leads, of course, to the second civil war between the North and the South. So they have to go back and allow 9/11 to happen.
Aww.
And so after they do that, they're high-fiving like, woo, we caused 9/11. We made 9/11 happen. Oh, I bet that would sound bad out of context. So anyway, all kinds of groups are up in arms because they made a couple 9/11 jokes.
They don't realize that this is a cartoon.
Yeah, so feel bad for my guys over there. Josh Duhamel from Las Vegas is 39 years old today. Travis Barker of Blink 182 turns 36. And our very own Bean Baxter celebrates his birthday today.
Yeah. No.
Why? Why no? It's your birthday.
Well, I don't celebrate it.
You say it's your
birthday. We don't have time. We're running very late. We got the guy walking the Amazon.
I'll punch you. Don't do it.
I didn't want to take up time from a guy who walked along a river. You're right. My bad. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 7 minutes after 7 o'clock. Coming up in about 10 minutes, details on the 22nd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas, night number one.
Hope those Halloween Spooks guys are on the bill. That's the act I'm looking forward to seeing.
Yeah, me too.
First, though, this is the kind of story that comes along every once in a while, and Kevin looks at it and says, the guy should just stop it. Am I right, Kevin?
Yes. What are you doing?
Well, Ed Stafford is the current European Adventurer of the Year. He is the star of a show on the Discovery Channel, debuting on November 19th, called Walking the Amazon. Ed walked the Amazon. 860 days, 6,000 miles. Still saying stop it?
Yeah, now I'm saying stop it more than ever.
Ed, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Hi, Kevin. How are you? Yeah, I'm very well, thank you.
I'm so happy to be a person like me and not a person like you, because my life would bore the hell out of you. You would want to, you know, you need that, don't you? You have to have some kind of challenge in front of you.
Yeah, I suppose I'm a bit of a lunatic, yeah. But I have to say, I didn't think it was going to take 2.5 years to do. I only thought it would take a year.
Okay, so you thought it would take a year of walking.
Yeah, I slightly miscalculated.
You thought it would take a year of walking, and it turned out to be 2.5 years.
Wow.
Yeah, well, I just, the river's, what, 4,000 miles long, so I sort of divided that by 365 days and came up with 11 miles a day. And you'd think you could walk that, wouldn't you?
Of course.
11 miles a day. But we averaged 4 miles a day. So, yeah, it was literally, I suppose, machete in hand, literally cutting and opening through the jungle for about 65, 70% of the journey. So that's why it took so long, yeah.
Right, so wow. Here's the difference between you and me. Day two, I'm like, F this, because
it's really this is hard.
We've only got 4 miles and I'm miserable. I'm going home to watch TV.
Yeah. Go on.
The 4,000 miles of the Amazon, and the Amazon runs the entire length of South America. Are you saying that that most of what you walked had not previously been cleared at all before you were actually clearing a path ahead of you to walk on?
Yeah, well, it's just because of the stupid way I decided to do it, really. I mean, there have been about 5 expeditions before that had kayaked the length of the river, and I thought, you know, I wanted to do something that nobody had ever done before. And obviously, if you kayak, you fly past quite a lot of these potentially quite dangerous places very fast, don't you,
right,
when you're on the river. And I just wanted to be immersed in the jungle a little bit more, so I decided. And I'm rubbish at kayaking, so I thought it would be better to walk it. Yeah,
but definitely
there were areas that nobody had ever walked into, white men or indigenous people. Nobody had ever come in by foot, and so
right.
Some of the looks on the people's faces was just incredible. They would just look to the direction we come from, and we'd been sort of walking for about 3 weeks through just gnarly jungle, and. Yeah, they were quite surprised to see it.
But, Ed, you know why no one's ever walked it?
I mean, that bad idea?
Well, yeah, I mean, before I started, everyone told me I was going to die. Not a single, apart from my family and friends, they were the only people who were, like, really supportive. But they hadn't got a clue what they were talking about anyway, so, yeah.
What little I've seen shot in the jungles of Latin America, it always makes it seem like you can't go 10 feet without getting stung or bit by something. Was that your experience, Ed?
I don't know. There's a lot of myths about the Amazon, isn't there? I mean, things like we were washing in the rivers every day, and we were eating predominantly piranhas because they were the easiest things to catch. But I mean, there's a big myth surrounding piranhas. They don't really strip people to the bone the minute they sort of dip their toe in the water. And it was the same with most of the things. Really. Most of the animals left you alone, and if you didn't bother them, clearly there's the annoyances, the mosquitoes, the ants. That sort of stuff. But
were you stung by thousands of wasps?
Well, thousands, probably, actually, in the whole duration of the expedition.
Okay.
But the thing about the wasps is that they have their nests on the underside of leaves, and because we were constantly chopping through the jungle, you couldn't see the wasp nest, so probably once or twice a day you'd chop through a wasp nest.
Oh, and only then, once or twice a day.
The man at the front would, because I walked with a Peruvian called Cho, and whoever would actually chop through the nest would get hit by about 10 or 15 bees or wasps. And the one at the back by the end would just giggle and find it all quite hilarious. Really.
Until it was their turn a mile down the road.
Did you get three times a day, you lost your sense of humor, definitely.
Right, yeah. I imagine so, yeah. This is the voice of Ed Stafford on the phone here on the Kevin Amin Show. You can go to his website at edstafford.org. We're talking about his book called Walking the Amazon. It is also a television show debuting on the Discovery Channel on November 19th. Were there times where you got sick and were unable to travel, Ed, because you caught something out there?
No, we were really, really lucky. We didn't get any of the big sort of tropical diseases. Didn't get dengue or typhoid or malaria. I had leishmaniasis in my arm, which is a sort of skin wasting disease. It's not that serious, but
just that only
into a variant that eats away your soft palate, so you're left with a sort of permanent hole in your face and place of your mouth and your nose, which I didn't really want. And so I had to give myself 20 days of intravenous injections, and that dried up. I had a botfly living in my head, which is sort of maggoty type thing.
Did you say you had a fly living in your hand that's like a maggot?
It was like a maggot. It's not serious at all, but it's just annoying because as it grows, it eats away at your flesh. And it's just like this little pinpricking sensation that stops you sleeping at night.
You're a sick bastard! I mean, really?
So we had, had to get that out. You can't squeeze them out if they're alive because they've got these sort of reverse barbs on them, so you have to suffocate them. And I had some super glue for mending my false teeth. And so we sort of suffocated it with super glue and then Joe squeezed it out. So
there's not, my God. There is, look, I'm fascinated by watching this. There's not one thing that makes me want to do it. No. Now, did you, I also read in the press that you walked through an illegal cocaine processing plant. It seems like people there shoot first and ask questions later.
Yeah, that was probably about the most dangerous bit. Yeah, the headwaters of the Amazon go straight through the red zone, which is I think 2/3 of the world's cocaine is grown in the red zone. It then gets shipped up to Colombia for processing, but it's actually grown in Peru. And everyone there would just, we were asking permission or advice on the safest way to get through, and they would all just smile at me and shake their heads and say, you're going to get yourself shot. You're going to die. Because you're carrying an HD video camera on your shoulder, and you expect to be able to come through here and film it.
Generally, the illegal cocaine processing people don't like the press.
Well, no, they don't at all. But, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I wasn't sort of wearing a big Discovery logo on top of my cap or anything like that. And I was just essentially, as far as they were concerned, a tourist. And I always maintained we weren't really a big threat. And I just prayed that we'd be all right, really. And
no kidding.
Turned out we were.
They probably thought these dumbasses will die right up the river a little ways anyway, so we don't have to worry about it.
They'll never get the story out of the jungle. Ed, in our remaining moments here, sir, what did 2.5 years away from England do for your relationships with your friends and family? I mean, life moved on. Were you in touch at all with the outside world during your journey?
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was one of the most exciting bits of the expedition for me, actually, because technology had got to the point where I basically could carry a broadband internet unit with me and just find a sort of fallen tree in the jungle and then a sort of hole in the jungle canopy. And I had the fastest internet in the whole of the Amazon, actually. And I was uploading blogs and videos and having people all around the world follow it and stuff. So, I mean, I knew Michael Jackson was dead within 2 minutes of it being announced on the internet, which was a bit ridiculous.
What? You knew it before I did.
I love the fact that you're walking the Amazon and you're alive and Michael Jackson dies in bed in Beverly Hills. Something weird about that. All right, we are out of time. This is a fascinating story. You are definitely crazy. There's no question about that. I mean, perhaps certifiably insane that you wanted to do this. You walked the length of the Amazon, 6,000 miles, and you can see the journey making its U.S. debut on the Discovery Channel on Saturday, November 19th is when it begins. And the book is available everywhere, too, called by the same title, Walking the Amazon. Now that we've talked to Ed, Kevin, what are your final thoughts?
You crazy. Stop it.
In the morning, on the radio.
Weenie in the butt. Every time Family Guy references Weenie in the butt, we get the emails. What's up with that? We don't have anything to do with that,
yes,
right?
Yes, we do. They're mocking us.
All right, listen up, kids. We got a bunch of information to present to you right now, not the least of which is we are in the final week of accepting our entries for Miss Double December 2012. It is the most wonderful time of the year, don't you know? We're going to be crowning a new Miss Double December coming up on December 2nd in Fullerton, down there at the slide bar like we do. If you are 21 and up, ladies, and you think you have what it takes, look down. Now look back up here. If you have what it takes, get some photos and fill out the entry form at krock.com or kevinbean.com.
I was going through some of the entries, and one girl just sent us a picture of her face. Now, that was nice and all.
Sure.
But it's Miss Double December, so there's going to need to be a little more.
At some point, we're going to need to see it. Yes. So what I'm saying is the deadline is Friday at the end of the week on our show. So Friday at 10 a.m. is when you have to have your entry in, and then next Monday we'll have all the entries up for the top 10. Then the K-Rock listeners get to vote, and then we do the pageant and then crown a new Miss Double December 2012. All those details available right now at krock.com.
Let's see, Miss Double D, I guess that's everything.
We got the other thing that people may be interested in.
Oh, yes, the 22nd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Night Number 1.
Our story starts in Christmas Town with a jolly old fellow you've seen around. Went to live with the elves to have some fun at K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas Night 1. Blink 182.
It's Christmas time again. The season is calling. So more of these red-light phone calls. So keep me up.
Chill. 311.
Count me in. I'm gonna get the
candy cane strippers with their complex contortions as they took it all off to social distortion. Bush.
So light.
Chevelle. Young the Giant. Newfound Glory. With stockings stuffed full of liquor, no one put up a fuss. They came too at the sounds of their friends. Incubus.
It's the most wonderful time.
The 22nd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. Night 1, Saturday, December 10th, Gibson Amphitheater.
K-Rock Street Team on sale Wednesday at 10 a.m. Details at K-Rock.com.
K-Rock.
All right, that's night 1.
Wow, how all about right. that?
It's one yeah. of two.
I'm just saying Blink 182 alone is all I need to get me down to the Gibson on Saturday, December 10th. Then you throw on some Bush, Chevelle, Incubus, another band, by the way, that could sell that place out as many nights in a row as they wanted. Newfound Glory, Social Distortion, 311, Young the Giant, all on one bill. Tickets going on sale this Wednesday at 10 a.m. to KROQ.com. Street team members only. You can get those details at KROQ.com. It is free and takes seconds to sign up so that you're eligible to buy those tickets when they go on sale Wednesday.
And the first show benefits Para Los Niños, which gives opportunity to at-risk youth. So thank you in advance for supporting that. That is night number one of the KROQ, of the 22nd annual KROQ Almost Acoustic Christmas. 106.7 KROQ is KROQ. We just made the announcement of the 22nd annual KROQ Almost Acoustic Christmas. That band, Blink-182, will be playing the show.
Yes.
Very excited about that.
I'm talking about.
Yeah! Plus Bush and Chevelle and Incubus and Newfound Glory, Social D, 311, Young the Giant. We're going to be playing those bands all morning this morning. You can buy tickets Wednesday at 10 a.m. at the K-Rock presale. Make sure and become a street team member. If you're not the type of person who wants to be a street team member, you can wait and take your chances. Or you can sign up and then sign back off. You know, you can take care of however you want to do it. But Wednesday at 10 a.m. is when you can buy the tickets.
You're always trying to game the system, aren't you,
Kevin? I'm just saying there are people who don't like to be on mailing lists or whatever. So this is good for them, too.
But I will say, I agree. You're absolutely right. I am a street team member. And I'm telling you, it's not one of those lists that you sign up for and you get bombarded with, you know, hey, here's a dollar off a taco. I mean, they really only send you the information about concerts that are going on sale or big, big events that we're doing on the station. So they do not clog your inbox with a lot of crap.
It's funny because I'm a street team member, too, and I find stuff out sometimes. Oh, hey, who knew we were doing that?
That's true.
Good news.
All right, let's turn our attention to the box office over the weekend. A lot of people were surprised to see the Adam Sandler movie, Jack and Jill, make $26 million.
Let's back up. A lot of people were surprised that that was a real movie.
That it actually got made. It was not a bad SNL parody.
Right, when you saw the trailer, you went, no.
It looks so awful.
That's a joke.
He's playing Jack, and then he's also playing his sister, Jill. Now, this movie did not open as big as most Adam Sandler movies do, but considering the critical drubbing that this thing got, I mean, some of the worst reviews of all of 2011, the fact that it made $26 million shows that Adam Sandler has a built-in audience for people who don't care whether the movie's good or bad. They just want to go see Adam Sandler, right? It's shocking to me, and I did not see it, to see Tim Meadows, Nick Swardson, Norm MacDonald, Dana Carvey.
They're in every one of his movies. What are you talking about?
They're in all this movie, too. Yeah. But so is Regis Philbin, Dan Patrick, Shaquille O'Neal, Drew Carey, John McEnroe, Christie Brinkley, and most shocking of all, Al Pacino is in the movie.
Really?
What?
Oscar winner Al Pacino is in Adam Sandler's Jack and Jill. Now, we got the clip. You want to play the clip here or wait until we get Al on the phone?
Well, let's talk to him first, and we'll just see. You can ask him. Hey, Al.
Oh. Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Well, we're good. How are you?
I'm great.
Okay.
Come on now. All right. Good morning.
Okay.
Oh.
You're in Jack and Jill. That's not a misprint. That happened.
No,
that's real.
No, I'm in the film. Mm-hmm. I couldn't be happier with
it. Really?
With the film, it's hilarious.
Is it because
he's a woman and a man?
Yeah, that's true.
Wow.
Right.
Brother and sister.
He plays
both characters, right?
Come on now.
Right.
With wigs and fake boobs.
But wait, you've seen that, right, Al? I mean, that's happened before.
I've seen what, Jack and Jill?
No, I mean, you've seen the whole thing where the same guy, the Eddie Murphy movies, where the same guy plays, you know, different characters.
I don't remember Eddie Murphy ever playing his own sister.
Okay, never mind.
Named Jill.
No, that's true.
Come on but, now with the original.
All right.
Okay, but here's the question many Al Pacino fans are asking today, which is, did they just send you over a big check and you said, I'm in, or did you actually read the script, think it was going to be a good movie, and want to do it?
Oh, no, I read the script and I said, I'm in. I get to play.
You're a liar.
Al Pacino.
Well, you do know the character.
What a challenge for an actor my caliber after playing Shylock and Richard III.
Right.
Now I get to play Al Pacino.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I got to tell you, I got to thank all my hair and makeup people who made that possible.
We don't have time
for me to play
the list.
Al Pacino.
Right.
To play an actor of that caliber.
Right. You are.
It's just. Al. An amazing honor for an actor like me.
But you are Al Pacino.
To play Al Pacino. I mean, come on now.
You're playing yourself.
Al Pacino!
Right. Do you mind if we play a clip? I just want to make sure that this matches with what you know about the movie. Here's a clip from Jack and Jill, and this is you and the great Adam Sandler.
Let it just float.
Okay. Really? Okay, can you do me a favor and not hold me like this?
All right, I'm just trying to show you. All you got to do... is make contact.
That's all. I feel like this is your game, and it's not my game. If you want to play my game, Hungry Hungry Hippo is out today. Do you have that here? Or do you guys?
That's coming. Okay. Come on, no better here, pitcher. No better. We got him.
Oh! My God. Oh, my God. I am so sorry. I'm sure you have others, though.
You'd think it, but oddly enough, I don't.
All right, Al.
That's my Oscar that she breaks. But, with that ball.
That's great, but Al.
What are you doing? Come on now!
What are you doing?
Did you hear the funny voice?
Yes.
He's got a speech impediment.
Right.
Oh, it doesn't get any funnier than that, fellas. Come on now!
Look, I'm an Adam Sandler.
It's a man.
Right.
Playing a woman.
Playing his own twin sister.
Who's got a speech impediment.
Right.
Oh! I could not stop laughing.
You had to be a part of that.
Oh, how could I turn that down, fellas? That's acting genius.
Well, we're just saying it's not...
Whatever with Dusty Hoffman and that Tootsie.
Yeah, I was going to say...
He's no Jill.
It's not the type of movie you normally...
Jill talks like this and has a thing when she talks with this funny ass voice. Oh, I couldn't do it. Sandler, genius.
All right.
Yeah! Come on now.
Did you get paid a lot?
With the Oscar for Adam, in my opinion.
With the Oscar for Adam?
I'm voting Adam. It's an all-Adam vote for me.
I'm an Adam Sandler fan, but it's getting more and more tough to be that.
Give him every award there is.
I don't know that I'm down.
He plays a woman.
He does.
Who has a lisp.
Right.
That's Oscar material.
Right.
Okay. Wow. Was this comparable to working with our own Ralph Garman in Two for the Money? Would you say it was a similar scene on set?
Well, come on now. Let's face it. There are very few actors of Ralph Garman's caliber.
Right.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Because a lot of them are put in movies and then left in movies.
And then they're still in it when it shows.
Some acting so good, you can't even put it on the screen.
Right. And that's why they cut him out of that.
No, they had to entirely. Pull back. Right. They have been pulled back on the Ralph. Less Ralph.
And they pulled
Too
back.
Too powerful.
They pulled back on the Ralph even in the DVD extras.
How did this become about Ralph? All of a sudden.
Seems like a good opportunity to talk to
you, Al. You worked with...
is the movie I want to talk about.
All right.
Because in the movie, I get to sing and dance about cappuccinos.
Right.
I sing and dance in a commercial for Dunkin' Donuts. Right. Cappuccinos. Okay, right.
But
that
don't they,
happens.
Don't they know that you're...
happens in the movie.
Right.
I sing and dance in a commercial for Dunkachinos.
Right, but you're Scarface and you're Devil's Advocate.
I never danced in Scarface.
Donnie Brasco, The Godfather.
Never sang in The Godfather.
Right.
I sing and dance about Dunkachinos.
It just seems like we must be missing the magic of that.
Oh, Oscar number two? I think so.
311, one of the great live bands I've ever seen. They are on the bill for the 22nd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Concert happening Saturday, December 10th at the Gibson Amphitheater. We're going to be playing songs from bands performing that night all day long here on the Kevin Bean Show, including Blink-182 and Bush, Chevelle, Incubus, Newfound Glory, Social D, Young the Giant, Tickets go on sale Wednesday at 10 a.m. for street team members. Go to KROQ.com for all the details.
We're going
to
be playing Chevelle today?
Yes, we are.
Yes,
can
we
you tell
are.
Me what time so I can jot down so I don't miss it?
It's coming up.
All right.
You just want to listen to the whole show,
I listen to the whole show?
Yeah.
You're not going to give me a little
not even a hint.
Little help?
Nope. Sorry.
I don't want to miss
the
Chevelle song.
No.
Yeah.
Right now, Ralph, it's your time for the Showbiz Beat on a Monday Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
It's Monday.
Yes.
Which means I've got new stuff to give away. This is pretty cool. Yeah, are you familiar with Fandango? Do you use Fandango?
I like Fandango.
Great service. You need to buy your tickets for a movie ahead of time. You want to check out information on the latest movies. You go to Fandango.com.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a Fandango gift card for...
So you can buy movie tickets.
Three lucky winners. Right. Not only that, I'll give you a gift card, but also throw in a Blu-ray of Super 8. The Blu-ray DVD
Nobody
combo
can
pack.
Play Super 8 anymore, Ralph. That's
it
ridiculous.
Was the name
That's
of a
stupid.
Movie, Kevin. A little J.J. Abrams
that
film.
That doesn't even exist.
Which I enjoyed enormously. You can check that out as well. All of that comes your way if you're one of the first three callers right now. 1-800-520-1067. By the way, Super 8, if you want to pick it up on Blu-ray or the DVD combo pack, it is available November the 22nd. So you get it before anybody else because you're listening right now.
I thought it was pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. Monday morning, we take a look at the box office. Immortals did number one business, $32 million. Put it at the top of the list. Jack and Jill, as I heard you guys mention with my buddy Al Pacino, came in at $26 million.
Stop in America!
Al's defending the movie, Ralph. I don't know if you heard it, but he's standing up for it.
Al
was great.
Texted me that he's not too pleased with you two and the
Is
treatment
that right?
you gave him.
Yeah.
I feel bad now because, you know, I'm caught in the middle.
Oh, of course.
I got Al on one side. I got you guys on the other side.
Of course.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Puss in Boots was third, Tower Heist, and then J. Edgar rounded out the top five. A Very Harold and Kumar 3D Christmas, $5.9 million. And number six, In Time, Paranormal Activity 3, Footloose, and Real Steel. Rounding out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. While we're talking about movies, great news coming out of Universal Pictures. Lego the Movie has been announced.
Stop in America!
Lego the Movie.
What is wrong with you people?
Come on, this is a perfect topic for a film. Legos in a 3D movie. About Legos.
Legos
Are
the
they
movie.
Legos that turn into robots like Transformers and destroy cities? What
well,
do they do?
Bean, sadly to tell you, right now, little is known about the plot, says Variety.
That's a terrible idea.
The film will be 80% animated and 20% live action. But unfortunately, the plot is currently unknown. They say even less will be known about the plot after the movie's released.
They're saying that, are they?
No, I said that, actually.
Can they get Adam Sandler to make it?
Oh, that would be the perfect storm. Lego the Movie coming to theaters 2014, so circle your calendars.
That's a terrible idea.
Make sure you're available for Lego the Movie. Lego. It's going to be a movie.
That's about a terrible idea.
Legos. Yeah. Those are bricks, you know. You put them, you press them together,
yeah,
and you make stuff.
Yeah, we're.
Kids do it
uh-huh.
on the floor.
Right.
Now it's a movie. See?
But isn't it also an enormously popular theme park? I mean,
Legoland.
There's got to be something, else.
Legoland,
something else going on besides just kids playing
with blocks
on the floor.
You know what they have at Legoland?
What?
Legos. Stuff made out of little plastic bricks.
Right.
That's what they have at Legoland.
They lock together, and then you can take them apart.
You get to walk around
something
them.
Else.
But
you,
in
huh.
Legoland, you get to walk around. You see all the stuff made out of bricks, and you get to walk around it and ride on it and stuff. Now it's going to be a movie.
That's a terrible idea.
I beg to differ.
I am being told by our friend Lightning in the digital department that the Lego video game is very hot this Christmas. Very popular this Christmas.
It's a Lego world, man. We're just living in it.
Apparently so.
That's all I'm telling you.
Is it bigger than Call of Duty, would you say?
he's not claiming that.
What if they played Call of Duty made out of Legos? What if all the soldiers are made out of Legos in Call of Duty?
I like it.
Courtney Love.
Guilty.
Yes, I agree. She is remarkable. She was in Brazil this weekend at a Brazilian music festival called the SWU on Saturday night, and she's playing with her band Hole, and a crowd member in the audience held up a picture of her late husband, Kurt Cobain.
Oh.
Didn't scream anything, didn't chant anything, simply held up a picture in tribute during her set.
Right.
Why do you go, ooh?
Does that sound
like a necessarily bad thing to you?
Well, I don't know.
To me, it doesn't sound so bad.
I think it's insulting
to Courtney. I don't know what that would mean
to her. You would want people to be there to because they like Courtney and her music, not because she's related to somebody they probably like more.
Maybe that's why I was saying, seriously, though. She is forever connected to one of the most worshipped musical icons of the past 30 years.
Skinny little bitch.
Right?
Agreed. I understand it.
I mean, if Lisa Marie Presley were to perform on stage and someone held up a picture of Elvis in the crowd, you would hardly think that was some sort of insult to her, right? Well, it's like saying, we love the person that you loved, too. I guess so. We love you, we love him, we're all one happy family of love. Courtney Love.
But Courtney Love is fairly well adjusted and probably handled it well, though, right?
Well, that's the point of my story. She stormed off stage after seeing the picture in the crowd, but not until she made an ass of herself, saying, I don't need to see a picture of Kurt, a-hole. I will edit this as I read, okay?
Oh, good. Yeah.
This is what she said on stage into the microphone. I don't need to see a picture of Kurt, a-hole. I'm going to have you effing removed if you keep holding that up. I'm not Kurt. I have to live with his ass and his ghost and his kid every day. And throwing that up is stupid and rude, and I'm going to beat the F out of you if you do it again. You weren't effing married to him. I effing was. You didn't get kicked out of a band by him like Dave. He did. Go see the effing Foo Fighters and do that S.
Overreaction much?
She said, now I'm leaving. Flipped off the audience and walked off stage. But she did come back after the audience did her a little favor. One of her band members came up and said to the microphone, do you want Courtney to come back? And they said, yes. And he said, well, she will if you chant, the Foo Fighters are gay.
What is... There's no way all this is true.
Well, the next hour, I'll bring in the audio for you. Yeah, hear it for yourself. I'll have Omar clean it up and edit it up so we can play it. And you will hear it unfold just as I said.
The Foo Fighters are the least gay band ever.
Oh,
wow. What is happening?
What? What?
I'm with you with the what.
Already. Oh, come man. On now.
Come on. What?
Courtney Love.
What?
Forget Legos. Make a movie about Courtney Love. That's what I want to see.
As long as it has the ending we're all hoping for.
Oh.
She pops a box.
Runs in the family.
And 6 feet of dirt.
Oh.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Reverend Run of Run DMC is 47 years old today. Patrick Warburton from Family Guy plays Joe on that show. The Tick, Seinfeld. What a resume this guy has.
Isn't he trying to sell you a car every 45 minutes when you're watching football?
And I buy one.
He makes me want to do it, right?
I bought one every time I see that commercial. I have like 29 cars now at my house because he's that effective. He's also in Ted, the upcoming Seth MacFarlane movie comes out next year. He's very funny in that. 47 years old today. Josh Duhamel. You know the guy from the Transformers movies and Las Vegas, 39. While we're talking about Blink-182 playing the 22nd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas, Travis Barker of Blink is 36 years old.
Greatest guy in the world.
He is. He is a good, good man.
There's nothing wrong with that dude.
And the diametric opposition to that, Bean Baxter, celebrates his birthday
today.
Not
the greatest guy in the world.
Just because there's nothing to astrology whatsoever. Two dudes born on the same day, could they be any different? I say nay. I vote nay. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 8 minutes after 8 o'clock. That, of course, is Incubus, and they are playing the 22nd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. We just announced it, night number one, which is December 10th.
Yes.
We had to put Incubus on the bill because we wanted Lisa May to attend, and that's the way to do it, is
that's
get her dreamy branded on stage.
Yum, yum, yum.
Blink-182, also Bush, Chevelle, Newfound Glory, Social Distortion, 311, and Young the Giant. You don't want to miss this show. It's an instant sellout. You can get tickets at 10 o'clock Wednesday morning if you're a K-Rock Street Team member. It's free to enter, and you can get all those details at krock.com. All right, how about a warning that this next conversation is going to involve beer mug?
Wow, that is a lot of Chick-fil-A.
So I feel like people are automatically turning for the radio, but Beer Mug has promised that he is going to try to be concise in his storytelling this time around. Because usually it takes Mugs about an hour to tell us a one-minute story.
You know, some people cannot get any rest, and then they show up to work, and somehow they pull it off. And wow, how did that person get through all of that without... That's not Beer Mug at all. Beer Mug is the opposite of that. Yeah. And he shows up a little bit tired, and everything falls to hell.
Yeah, I don't need any help being bad.
Correct.
What's the problem at home, Muggs? What's going on that's depriving you of all your sleep these days?
Well, I try to go to bed at 9, and my roommate's an asshole.
Right.
He has sex till starts at 2 a.m. goes till 4. I wake up at 4 to go to work.
Right.
Dude,
yeah.
That is inconvenient for your schedule.
Yeah.
But do you expect him to change? Because I'm not changing if I'm your roommate. I'm sorry. If that's my sex time,
look,
you lose.
I expect some, you know, consideration for my sleep time.
Does this happen regularly?
Yeah, twice already.
Twice?
Yeah.
Is that regularly?
Yeah.
Twice in what period?
More
of
than
time?
Once.
Well, I think it's a fairly new living arrangement. Okay. I think Muggs is his concern is that this is the regular habit of the guy. Now, that may just be incompatibility. There may be nothing you can do about it because that may be the only time this dude can get it on. And obviously, you have to get up at a certain time. You guys may not be able to live together.
Look, he can have sex before 2 a.m., I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have
maybe
you
it takes
him
until the bars close to find someone to have sex with. You ever think about that? Maybe the girls aren't drunk enough at midnight to get
not
to get
when,
to go home with them.
Yeah, that would be normally the case, but not when you're hanging out all night partying and drinking on a weeknight.
Right.
Before.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's how people live.
No.
The fact that you... Listen, because I have the same schedule. The fact that we have to get up early,
yeah.
It sort of changes our whole clock. But
right.
That doesn't mean it changes everybody else's.
Look, yeah, you're the oddball here.
Yes.
Look, if the phone rings at Lisa's house at 9 p.m., that may be super normal at most people's house. That's the middle of the goddamn night for you, Lisa, right?
Right. I turn off my phone.
You don't want the phone call ringing at 9.
She'll pick it up and go, what?
I do.
All right, let me ask you this.
All right.
Does it help that he's bumping his subwoofer at maximum levels?
Yes, it does. That makes it funny.
No. No, it doesn't.
So he turns on music. Is
so
it
now
always...
he's playing really loud music.
Yeah.
Is it always the same music? Is that his sex music?
It's
maybe it's his
all
rhythm.
Night.
He needs that to get in the rhythm.
Now, are they loud?
Oh, my gosh. It sounds... whoever this guy is having sex with sounds like a dying chicken.
Is it the same girl? Do you know?
I don't know. It's not the same
it's
girl.
It's not the same
no.
girl.
Are you positive that they're not dying?
Have you checked?
Are their bodies
it sounded like it. And that wasn't my only viewpoint.
Somebody
else thinks that as well.
How many people live in the house?
We have two guys, so
two guys.
Three total.
Three total.
Yeah.
Two guys, so three total.
Nah, I'm the third guy.
Oh, I see. I'm
yeah,
two
sorry.
Other guys. Okay. Let's try to just talk, figure out what Beer Bugs is saying. All right. So they're loud. They play the music. He plays the music.
Yeah.
He has sex.
Yep.
She screams.
Yep.
For 2 hours.
For 2 hours.
I'm calling BS
he's
on 2 hours.
Hero.
That's what I'm saying, but I'm calling BS on 2 hours.
Yeah, because he's drunk, right?
Yes.
It's 2 minutes and it seems like 2 hours.
He's drunk. They party from about 10 p.m. till 2 a.m.
Right.
In the house. And
that gives time for the Rohypnol to kick in.
And I'm tossing and turning from about 2 a.m. to 3:50 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
Where then I go into the shower. We share a bathroom. And then I hear them having sex while I'm taking a shower.
Right.
And I'm out the door at least by 4 a.m.
Right.
So they were having
what
sex for 2 hours.
What do you want to happen? I mean, do you honestly think a guy's going to stop having sex?
No,
because your dumb ass has to go to bed early?
Look. Believe it or not, I've had sex before, okay? I tell the girl not to scream at the top of her lungs. She doesn't have to scream at the top of her lungs. You can enjoy sex on a lower decibel level.
Yeah, I
think.
Know, but if I'm that guy, I'm going more, louder. Come
yeah,
on.
But
it's inconsiderate.
Like, I live in a condo. You can't be blasting music at 2 in the morning
right,
when
exactly.
you have neighbors all around you.
This is in his own apartment.
I know, but do you guys share, like, a wall?
It's a house, and his
it's
room,
a house.
Yeah, it's his room is across from mine, and there's no soundproofing whatsoever. It's all wood,
uh-huh.
And you can hear every little noise that comes through his room.
All right, so what's the question? We're asking people how they've dealt with this. How do you handle when you live with somebody who has sex loudly at an inconvenient time
with
for
you? The bass turned way up?
The bass on the sex or the bass on the music?
Both.
Okay.
If the music were turned down and it was just them, would that...
No, it wouldn't make any difference.
I think him playing the music gives her an excuse to yell louder.
I was wondering that, Muggs, if maybe the reason he put the music on was to try to cover up the sounds of sex.
Doesn't make a difference.
Maybe that was a modesty move, but no, you don't think so.
He's
no
not
modest.
Have you
no
tried
modesty.
Earplugs?
Yeah, I try earplugs, but the problem with that is I won't hear my alarm.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's an awkward situation that you're in because you've talked to him about it. Clearly, we're not the first people you've brought this
right,
up with.
What
does he say when you say? He just says, oh, well, sucks
to
you?
Sorry, dude, I'm an asshole. Never again.
And then,
until the next time.
Until
right.
the next time.
Then what you do is you go to bed at 6, which I know is unnatural, but then you wake up at 2 and join. How's that work?
How's that? How's that for an idea?
I don't know about that.
We don't want to get Muggs into the devil's threesome with two guys. Believe me. That's not what anybody's interested in here. All right. So how do you handle that? How have you handled it? How has it happened to you where you've had sexy time going on in the middle of the night? And what do you do about it? To me, honestly, I kind of agree with Kevin here that it's incompatibility is what it is. I don't think he's going to change. I don't think you're going to change. I think you guys need to split up.
There's not a guy on this planet that's going to go, oh, I'm sorry. I'm disturbing you. Okay. I'm not going to have sex. That's never going to happen.
Yeah, that's true.
It just isn't. Now, does he need to be that loud? No, of course not. Is it funny? Yes.
Is he bragging?
Yes. Oh, yes. Exactly. Is he showing off? Is he having sex that whole 2 hours? No.
I don't know.
You think he's taping the first 5 minutes and just played it over and over again?
He's put on a loop to impress his roommates.
All right. What has happened with you in this arena? What advice do you have for Beer Bug? We want to hear from you now. 1-800-520-1067. Your call is coming up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
That is Young the Giant, another one of the bands playing the 22nd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas shows. We made the announcement earlier this morning. Saturday, December 10th, it's Blink 182, Bush, Chevelle, Incubus, Newfound Glory, Social D, 311, Young the Giant. Tickets go on sale Wednesday at 10 a.m.
Okay.
Go to krock.com for details.
Yes, all those details. Sign up for free. Make sure you are among those who can buy tickets on Wednesday. By the way, I believe Wednesday is also the day we'll have details on night number two of this year's Acoustic Christmas as well. Talking about our friend Beer Mug, our coworker Beer Mug,
hey!
Who has a problem in his apartment at home. He's got a roommate who has lots of loud, very late night, early morning sex. He's not quite sure how to deal with it. Kevin says, look, if I'm that dude, I don't change a thing.
I
just keep doing what I'm doing.
Hey, too bad for you.
Here's a great suggestion before we go to your phone calls at 1-800-520-1067. Sean suggests Mug should talk to the girl and thank her for being so vocal because it, quote unquote, helps him along by himself.
Awesome.
Guys might be shameless about loud sex, but many girls are self-conscious about it if they know that someone is listening and she'll be quiet on purpose.
She knows there's two males in the house. She knows.
She was definitely putting on a show.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And it's a different girl every time.
Yeah, that's another problem. It's not like it's a regular. All right, let's take your phone calls right now. We'll start with Irene. She's been in this situation right now on line two, please. Irene, thanks for calling. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened?
Hi. Well, we had this French couple, way older couple. They would have obnoxiously loud sex, and they would speak all in French, so I got to learn some French.
Sure.
But
only a few words.
But only, exactly. Only do me baby. Only things you couldn't use in regular conversation.
Yeah, the bad words, probably. But it would be at all different hours, and we work late shifts, so it was getting on our nerves.
So what did you do about it?
We started having loud, obnoxious sex without me muffling like I usually do every day, many times a day for a whole week.
Oh, yes.
I see this game.
Up against the wall, banging the bookshelf.
Love it.
You name it. Whatever we could do. And, well, that got me out of my, inhibitions to say stuff out loud. Too.
Sure. Yeah.
Good times. Thank you very much for the call. Unfortunately, Muggs is, he's pretty much alone. So there's not much he can do about that. You've met Muggs. There's no way he's bringing a girl home. All right. Let's try Jordan. He's got a little revenge on his mind on line four. Hi, Jordan. Or excuse me. She's calling on line four. Hi, Jordan.
Hey.
Sorry.
My
mistake. What's your advice for Muggs?
Well, basically, I've been on the other side of this. I've been that awful roommate, and I didn't realize it was so bad. Shut up. But I actually felt really bad when my roommate told me, and so did my boyfriend, and we didn't want to be rude back, so we stopped doing it as loud, of course.
So you're pretty loud, are you?
Oh, God. Anyway, the point is, what I think should happen, and even though Beer Mug apparently is a loner, which is sad.
He is.
I feel like what you do is when that guy is asleep, you make all of the noise you possibly can, and then when he complains to you, be like, oh, man, that must be a real pain when you can't get things done because I'm being an obnoxious.
Because somebody's making a lot of noise. I like it.
Exactly. I do, too.
I like it. That's a good idea. All right. Thank you for the call, Jordan. We appreciate it.
Muggs, have you given any thought to picking an inappropriate time for him and making some revenge noise, or is the problem that he's sleeping while you're here at work?
No, that's a good point. Being, I come home and he's asleep. I come home at like 11 a.m.
Oh, sweet!
He's
there, it's
out.
On.
There it is.
All right, now you got it.
It is on.
All right, let's try Matt. Hello, Matt.
What's up?
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You have the same problem?
Yeah, I actually have a double whammy for you guys.
A double whammy.
Okay.
I shared a room with a couple that would wake me up in the middle of the night doing it.
You sure?
A room?
A room?
Yeah, a room.
You were in the same room with the couple?
Yes. 4 feet away.
Did she give it a your way?
Not at all.
Not at all.
But to top it all off,
yeah,
I had touching wall neighbors that were 10 times worse, and she was a screamer. So what I would do is when it woke me up, I would turn around, put my legs on the wall, and start kicking the wall with my feet as hard as I could and screaming as loud as she was.
Okay, just to kind of let them know or just to be annoying? Did it work?
Yeah, it did work because they ended up confronting me. What the hell is all that noise you're doing over there? You know, I was like, what's all that noise you're doing over there?
Yeah, what about your noise and stuff?
But, you know, I understand where you're coming from, and I hope that solved the problem. But they still win because they were making that noise having sex. You were making that noise being alone and kicking a wall.
Yeah, they win.
Yeah, unfortunately.
About the couple in the room with you, I would have just rolled over and started taking pictures. I imagine that would have ended pretty quickly. Hey, maybe you should walk into the room with a camera.
Paparazzi?
Yeah. And just start taking photos and go, yep, I'm putting up a website.
I like that.
I like it.
Very good. Thank you for the call. Let's do one more. Let's try Jack. He has faced the exact same problem as Beer Mug has, loud sex neighbors. He took care of it. It never happened again. Hi, Jack. How'd you do it?
Well, essentially, I shared a wall with my roommates, and they would go at it like every day, every week.
Right.
So one day, I got a chainsaw and took the chainsaw blade off.
I'm sorry. Hold on. Hold on. So one day, you got a chainsaw.
No, it was after Halloween. I dressed up as Ash.
Okay.
So I took the chainsaw blade off, you know, for the costume.
Right.
Well, I had it left over, and the next night they were just going at it. So I got up to the door, revved it up, and then kicked open the door.
Nice. With the chainsaw going.
With the chainsaw.
And nice.
They never did it that loud ever again. They made sure not to do it whenever I was in the house.
Sweet.
Jack, can I borrow the chainsaw?
Did you still wear the Evil Dead makeup and everything when you kicked down the door?
Unfortunately not. You know, you're rather pissed off at that point early in the morning.
I'm also guessing that the chainsaw was effective enough.
Mm-hmm.
You're probably right.
You don't need the makeup.
You kick open someone's door with a chainsaw. Yeah, it's done.
Mugs?
I need to meet up with Jack, and I need to borrow that.
No other way to get a chainsaw. All right, thank you for the call.
Speaking of that band right there, Chevelle, here on the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock. They are one of the acts on night number one of the 22nd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Concert, which is coming up before you know it, Saturday, December 10th. It's going to be at the Gibson Amphitheater. Trying something new this year, Kevin. Taking it to the Gibson. How about that? Blink-182 is also playing. The band Bush, who we had the opportunity to see a couple of months ago out there in the desert, who have still got it. Still an amazing live performance band. Also Incubus, Newfound Glory, Social Distortion, 311, and Young the Giant rounding out the acts on night number one. You want to go, and why wouldn't you? Tickets go on sale Wednesday at 10 a.m. to KROQ.com. Street team members, couldn't be easier for you to sign up for free to make sure you are able to buy those tickets when they go on sale Wednesday. All the details at KROQ.com.
All right, TMZ's HarveyLevin.com. Would you mind if I tried that again?
Yeah, please.
All right, time for TMZ.com with Harvey Levin.
Hey, Harvey, how are you, my friend?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Good, thanks.
I have to tell you, I'm so glad I follow Harvey on Twitter. You have been extremely opinionated lately, Harvey. I mean, you have really been ticked off with a lot of stuff that's been happening in the news lately and are not afraid to share that, which I love.
I mean, this Penn State thing is driving me crazy.
I know it is.
It's driving me crazy. I one night last week, I generally don't do this, but I just started on Twitter, and I don't think I've ever done this before, but I just went, I couldn't stop. But and part of it is because people kept tweeting me back, and I don't understand how people cannot take a stand on this thing. And you know, McQueary is the one that gets me more than anybody.
For people who haven't been following, and I know it's hard to avoid, but give an overview of the story.
The bottom line is this, is that, you know that Paterno got fired, and you know about the sexual misdeeds here, or the allegations.
It was by an assistant coach, right?
By an assistant coach. But McQueary was 28 years old. He was, you know, in the fold there, you know, with Paterno, and he walks through this locker room and sees this guy allegedly, and this is at least what he told the grand jury, having anal sex with a 10-year-old boy.
Yeah.
The boy and the perpetrator look at McQueary And they make eye contact. So you can only imagine this boy is essentially saying, please save me. McQueary walks out, says he is, McQueary is distraught. He walks out. He doesn't call the police. He goes to his dad. So,
what?
To me, well, when you go to your dad, it's like saying to your dad, what do I do to protect me?
Yeah, right. But the answer to that is go to the police.
No,
right,
the answer,
and protect the little kid.
No. The answer to that was really, when you see that happening, you go up to, because McQueary's a big guy, you go up to the guy, and you put him in a chokehold, and you choke him out, and you call the police and save the boy.
Yeah.
You're
absolutely right, and this is what's freaking everybody out. Is, I mean, from minute one this happened, it seemed like every single person involved at Penn State's primary thought was, how do we stop this from becoming public? How do we protect the school?
Okay, so now it's public. Explain to me how McQueary is not fired. That they have done, and on TMZ Live, we've had the student body president on, we've had other students on, and almost all of them are they're taking this kind of wait and see, well, we don't know. It's like, what don't you know?
Yeah.
No, I mean, that's a really valid point. I mean, I guess those who argue the other side say he went to his dad, yes, but then they went to the athletic administrator. They went to
what?
But I mean, I think that they're saying this kid was 19 years old and he turned it over to somebody who he thought was in a position of.
No, he wasn't 19.
How was he? How old was he at the time?
He was 28.
Yeah,
that's a little too old to make that mistake. Then that's for sure.
28.
Wow. I guess they're saying they felt like he at some point turned it over to someone in a position of authority and thought they would handle it since he didn't. But okay, I agree with you, Harvey.
So maybe I'm crazy. No, but I gotta tell you.
But I'm with you, Harvey. That's an out and out crime. That is a crime that's taking place. You don't just
the guy that watched the crime taking place and could have saved this boy and walked away from it. And it's like, you know, he wasn't the perpetrator, but my God, why have they not fired this guy? I have an answer to this.
Yes.
I got to tell you something. I think the answer to it is there is so much more about this with the university that we don't understand. And the university is just acting weird here. And that's, I think it's because there was a lot of information that was shared with a lot of people, and they are so worried about lawsuits that they can't, that I think that's what's driving this, because common sense would tell you that if this were just handled strictly on the merits, they would have fired McQueary. And the weird thing is, I was back in Washington, D.C. this weekend, and I, you know, we're firing up TMZ D.C., and I was talking with some people, because we're staffing up there, and none of the people back there have put the senators from Pennsylvania and the congressmen from Pennsylvania, you know, gone to them and said, what would you do? And it's the weirdest thing. It's just the way this whole thing is being handled is just odd to me.
And I think it might have also been from either your tweets or your site, Harvey, that I saw the dots connected in that not only did he not go to police, but he stayed on with the university, is still an employee of the university, and got a coaching position the following season after the incident in the shower, right?
Right. And now, you know, what they did was they told him that he was going to go to the game, and then they decided he's not going to go to the game on Saturday because of security concerns for him, not because he did anything wrong, but security concerns for him because apparently he was getting death threats. So now they've placed him on paid leave, and it's like they're doing somersaults. Something is going on with this university where there's a lot more to this story. Where there, and I think it all it goes to the doorstep of lawsuits. And I just have a feeling that there was a lot of information shared here, and the university is really nervous.
I would like to suggest that it's a Catholic university. Is what I would like to suggest.
It's not a Catholic university.
It's very strongly Catholic. Is it not?
It's not. It's not.
It's not. It's not.
But let me ask you this,
Harvey.
Let me ask you this, and maybe this has nothing to do with Penn State. Maybe this is the case in many cases like this. Why, if there were dozens of victims, was this not revealed in some other way in the years that have ensued since this one incident in the shower all those years ago? Like, where were the other boys coming forward and saying, hey, Daddy, that man touched me?
Well, I know, and you know, a lot of this has to do with shaming them. I mean, you can make it's the same template as the Catholic Church with the priests. That why didn't that come to light sooner than it did with all of the victims there? And there were more. So, you know, I think what happens is these kids get shamed. These kids don't want to be put under a microscope. These kids, you know, don't want to be, you know, made fun of in
school. I can understand that.
And you know, it becomes this dirty little secret that everybody keeps for so long. But with that said, there were plenty of, you know, people were talking about this for years before, you know, this all finally surfaced. So there were rumblings of this for a long, long time.
And the truth is, when you grow up there near Penn State, I mean, the football program is the religion there, and it is revered and is held sacred. And maybe there were so many people invested in not upsetting the, you know, the magic of that program.
I guess. I mean, look, Paterno's power is crazy there.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that Paterno would say to the trustees, I'm going to retire at the end of the year, so now shut up. I don't want to hear from you. Don't tell me what I'm going to do. You can't do anything to me. I've decided. The fact that he would take that stand and really believe he could do it just shows the enormous power that he had.
Yeah, that was a shocking misstep, wasn't
shocking.
It? That he couldn't read this one a little bit better.
Well,
he did not get good advice.
And he forced the trustees' hands finally.
Right. Well, listen, we're out of time, unfortunately. There's so much great stuff up at TMZ.com right now, including a phenomenal story we're going to talk about more tomorrow with Sasha Gray.
I can't say that.
I mean, it's a great story. Please read it at TMZ.com. See what's up with Justin Timberlake, the new Kim Kardashian trouble, and so much more. TMZ.com is the website of record. Also, TMZ television. Check the local listings. And When in Hollywood, take the TMZ tour. Harvey, you're the best. Thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Bye, guys.
This is KROQ, and it is 8:57.
I missed some of the details in that football giveaway.
Ralph is funny here. About that. Just yes. Real quickly.
I'd like to hear that again. Do we have it?
Here's what's funny about that is Bean wants Muggs to do it. I go, you know, it's our show. We should probably do it. So then I started doing it, and now I'm doing it worse than Muggs.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted Muggs to do it because he's horrible at it, because every time he opens the mic to do a giveaway, it's a train wreck. It's hilarious to me how bad he is every single day.
Right, he's not going to take my crown just like that. You think I'm just going to give it up?
So Muggs is a train wreck, and then you took another train, and you ran some track into that train wreck, and then you just ran another train into it.
That's correct.
We are having the world's largest train wreck happen.
We're having a bad off on this program is what's happening. I don't know why that is. But anyway, Ralph, you're going to turn things around for us and make it good as you join us for the Showbiz Beat on a Monday, Kevin and Bean Show.
Nope. But I will go over the weekend's top 10 movies at the box office because it's Monday. Immortals, number one at the box office, $32 million in its debut. And inexplicably, Jack and Jill in its debut made $26 million.
Wow. Kevin, you saw both of those, I imagine.
I didn't. I saw Immortals and not Jack and Jill.
Kevin could tell Jack and Jill was not worth going to.
He's playing his own twin sister. Come on.
I'm not even
a fan of his, but it's getting harder and harder because every movie's getting worse.
I think A Guy in Drag sometimes can be funny.
Right.
A la Dustin Hoffman in Tootsie, a classic film that really holds up, and it's a great performance. But here's the thing. Dustin Hoffman goes out of his way to try to deliver a performance to make you feel like he's trying to act like a real woman when he's doing Tootsie.
Right.
And pulls it off. You believe, although Dorothy Michaels is not attractive, she is a woman. He creates a whole character. Adam Sandler's like, oh, look at me, I'm a woman. And he's got a stupid voice, and he walks around not even trying. He just puts on a wig and fake boobs, and he thinks that's enough.
I'm with you. Look, I usually go see his stuff, but this looked bad to me.
I want a safe to fall on him.
Plus, Frida Pinto was in The Immortals, so we got that going for us.
Puss in Boots was third, Tower Heist fourth, J. Edgar was fifth. Barry Harold and Kumar 3D Christmas came in at number 6. In Time was 7th. Paranormal Activity 3, Footloose, and Real Steel rounding out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. Kat Von D.
Yeah, we didn't get a
split chance. Up with Jesse James.
Yeah.
Now, there are some women out there who would say, I told you so, when she says Jesse cheated on me. A lot of women would say, hey, look, he cheated on America's sweetheart, Sandra Bullock.
Right.
Someone who's not as tattooed as you. Yet, still, he was managing to cheat on her, treating her like garbage. I told you so, a lot of women would say.
Yeah.
Well, Kat Von D says, you are all more right than you will ever know. On her Facebook page, she announced the following. Today I encountered the 19th girl to add to the list of people Jesse cheated on me with during the past year.
I'm sorry to laugh. That number is crazy high. That she's met.
Yeah. I kept going back and forth in my mind as to what was the best way for me to
what would be the best way for me to release and let go of any residual feelings remaining from that toxic relationship? All this may sound petty or immature to some, but I assure you, this is coming from a place of pure honesty and love.
It is.
That's more than Tiger Woods got caught with.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
He cheated on her with 19 girls in the past year.
You cheated on your wife.
Yep.
Yep. Cheated on your girlfriend? Yep.
You cheated on your wife.
Yep.
19 girls?
He had more sex with other people than with her.
Yep.
Possible.
Wow.
Yep. So,
well, what are you going to do?
What are you going to do? I mean, if you can't rely on a guy who dresses up in a Nazi costume and gives the Heil Hitler salute.
I don't think that was a serious
and thing. Wears the Luftwaffe hat and has the Hitler mustache. And cheated on his wife, Sandra Bullock. If you can't count on that guy to be a good dude, to really to stand by you.
Is there hope for anyone?
That's what I'm saying. Who can we trust? Who do we turn to in a time of need? What's happening to America? You know who we turn to? Courtney Love. That's who we turn to.
Yes.
Oh, we don't have time.
Yes, we do.
We don't have time.
Yes, we do.
I'm telling you, we don't have time. It's 9:01:19.
I know, but we got to get into this.
Well, then maybe next time don't start Showbiz Beat at 7:57.
It may have been my half-hour giveaway there.
That could have been. Maybe, you had to restart the song.
That may have
put a little dent in the timing, I'm just saying.
So
for that, we don't get Courtney Love. That's all I'm saying.
It was a rookie mistake Kevin made right there. It was a first year on the radio. I can't believe I'm in over my head. Had to try to do this giveaway over a song intro problem.
Yeah. So at least he compounded it by stopping and restarting the song and going all over again.
It was
so much better the second time. Oh, sometimes wait, it wasn't any better.
It was a one-act play. He did a one-act play in the middle of our show, and I for one, resent it. Today's celebrity birthdays, Reverend Run of Run DMC is 47 years old. Patrick Warburton from The Tick and Seinfeld and Family Guy, 47 years old. Josh Duhamel from Las Vegas and the Transformer movies, 39 years old today. Travis Barker of Blink 182 celebrates his 36th birthday. And our very own, no one else will take him, Bean Baxter, celebrates his birthday today as well. Happy birthday, Bean Baxter!
I don't celebrate. I carry around an iPod full of Christmas music 12 months out of the year, but I don't celebrate my own birthday.
Why?
I'm odd. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show as Bean.
And that's the full story.
No one works harder on Sunday that's not actually on the field at an NFL game than our next guest, Andrew Siciliano. He, of course, is the host of DirecTV's Red Zone channel, and you can see him Monday through Thursday, or Monday through Saturday, I guess it says here, NFL Total Access. Is that true? You're not working 6 days a week, Andrew.
No. It's Monday through Thursday.
That's what I thought. All right. Yeah.
That's cool.
I was going to say, give me bad information here. All right. I don't know where to start. Another great, as you always say, the NFL is the greatest reality show in the world. But why don't we start with Kevin's Arizona Cardinals? How many games this year have the Eagles had a lead going into the fourth quarter and blew it, Andrew?
Five.
Oh, what's happening? What's the problem?
Well, first of all, bad breaking news, Ralph, in the last couple of minutes. Michael Vick has two broken ribs.
Yes, two broken ribs.
Two broken ribs. It happened on the second play of the game, Andy Reid says.
Mm.
They do not know if he'll play this week on the road against the Giants.
So who are they going to bring in to lose?
Be Vince Young, in all likelihood. I mean, or Mike Kafka. But Vince Young came in yesterday when Vic got hurt briefly, if you remember. You know, Vic got the wind knocked out of him, they said, later in the game. And then Vince Young came in. He handed it off, and it did so quite well, one play. And then Vic came back in. I don't know that the only reason they lost was the fact that Michael Vick had broken ribs. The fact is they let the Arizona Cardinals hang around. And they lost to a guy named John Skelton, who is now 4-2 career as a starter with two fourth quarter comebacks, one against the Cowboys and one against the Eagles.
Super Bowl.
I
heard a stat I pulled it out of the ether at some time, and I don't know if it's true or if I'm even remembering it correctly. But is it possible that Michael Vick has only ever played one complete season where he played every game?
That is not accurate.
Is not true. But he's been hurt a lot over the years, right?
Listen, a guy that runs around like that, a guy that is such a good athlete that he can extend the play and run around and do things on his own, they're more prone to get hurt. That's what people say about Tim Tebow. I mean, he doesn't even throw passes. He is a fullback playing quarterback, so people think that he is going to get hurt. But hold on, I'm looking this up through the magic of the internet right now. Michael Vick live internet research as we speak. I'm pretty sure he had at least two or three seasons with the Falcons in which he did not miss a game. But
well, I would certainly stand corrected if that were the case. I just thought, that was...
That's actually correct. 2006, he played 16 games. There were three other seasons in Atlanta in which he played 15, so one away from the maximum. He has only had one complete season.
Look, any quarterback that runs, like you say, is going to get hit and hurt. I mean, that's just going to happen. Yeah.
You mentioned Tim Tebow. Why is America in love with this guy? Is it because he's dreamy, Andrew?
Yeah, I think it's because he's dreamy. I think there's a faction that loves him because of his faith. And there is now a kind of, how would I describe this? I don't want to call it a freak show fascination with him because that would be unfair. However, they are doing something in Denver that no one else does. They went 2-for-8 passing yesterday and won relatively easily. It got closer than maybe it could have at the end or should have. They didn't throw the football. And when I say they didn't throw the football, I mean they didn't throw the football. They were 0-for-4 passing in the first half.
Wow.
And when you consider this, so they beat the Raiders last week, ran for 299 yards last week, week 9. They didn't throw a pass, didn't attempt a pass in the fourth quarter last week against Oakland. So their last completed pass was at 6:38 of the third quarter, week 9. And then when you extend it into yesterday, they actually went a full four quarters, in essence, a full game without completing a pass at one point.
Who would have
you don't see
thought,
that very often. Who would have ever thought that, in this year in the NFL, that would be the case with any team anywhere?
Well, I said yesterday there that I think, the SEC, the Southeastern Conference, is going to rescind its invitation to Missouri and just invite the Denver Broncos.
Sure.
that would make sense to me. Sure. And they, at the end of the game, Tebow went 2-for-8. And to put that into perspective, most any fan would know that's just laughable, but they won 2-for-8. The Bears defensive backs, the Bears intercepted four passes from the Lions' Matt Stafford. So the Bears defensive backs caught twice as many passes as the entire Broncos offensive team with Tim Tebow. Yet they won.
They won.
So there is the fascination: is how are they doing this?
That is all right. Speaking of Eddie's dreamy, right? Speaking of, and he's got the Christian factor. I mean, he has a lot of fans just from that, too. We can't overlook that, right?
That's a huge part of it.
Huge thing, right. All right, speaking of winning, is that something the Indianapolis Colts will ever do again, Andrew?
Yesterday was their best shot, in my humble estimation.
That was it. That was their one opportunity.
They get Jacksonville again, which is the team they lost to yesterday, but they would have to play them week 17, I believe, and on the road. So in all likelihood, that was it. They really weren't close. They were
How long
17.
Has it been since the team has been winless?
The Lions a couple of years ago.
Just 2 years ago, right. But in Detroit, exactly. I mean, that had been a crappy team for a long time. Imagine how much harder this is in Indiana, where you are used to your team making the playoffs every single year.
It's more than that. They're a perennial Super Bowl contender.
Yeah, that's true.
Super Bowl contender.
That's true.
And they are 0-for-10. And look. They're off this week, mercifully. They're
going to lose this week, and they're off.
they could beat Carolina in 2 weeks, hypothetically. But then they get New England and Baltimore on the road. That ain't happening.
Ouch.
They get Tennessee at home. No. They get Houston at home. Houston 7-3. You could make the case they're the best team of the AFC, and that's on a Thursday night NFL Network game. And then they go to Jacksonville to perhaps close it out. Now, look, when teams have gotten close in the past, there is always this "we're not going to be that team" mentality,
right,
where they just play over their heads 1 week and win a game.
Right.
But it would have to be Carolina next week, or in 2 weeks rather, or Jacksonville at the end, because they're not winning those other ones.
And the only advice I'll give is, when you do finally win that game, Colts players, don't party like you've won the Super Bowl. Take it with humility. All right, you won one, but you still suck. Remember that.
See, I wonder how they would party, because in Detroit, for example, if they had won, they would have partied like it was the Super Bowl, because
sure,
they're a bad team.
Sure.
This team is supposed to have talent.
Right.
At least a little bit. I mean, look, they did their whole speech thing last week. Like Jeff Saturday, their center, the guy that you see with the beard all the time, he's the guy who's always with Peyton. He gave his big, all right, guys, we're not going to take this anymore speech on Monday. And it
How'd
was
that work out?
3 yesterday. Yeah.
All right, we're almost out of time with our friend Andrew Siciliano here on the phone in the Kevin and Bean Show from the DirecTV Red Zone and the NFL Total Access on the NFL Network. But I have to ask, is it going to be a terrible game because the Packers are so much better than the Vikings tonight? Or is there going to be a little bit of drama just because these are, you know, decades-long competitors in the same conference?
I would hope there's a little bit of drama. I would hope that with Adrian Peterson on the Vikings, it's always a somewhat interesting game. They have a rookie quarterback who's looked okay. But I would watch it just for the fact that Green Bay is so good and that Aaron Rodgers, if there's ever been anything as a perfect quarterback season, he's almost having a perfect quarterback season. That's how good he is right now. And they, you know, reversal of the Colts, have a legitimate shot to go 16-0.
Wow. The game is on ESPN, but you're going to be doing your little chat show on the NFL Network immediately following the game as well, right, Andrew?
4 o'clock Pacific Time, Total Access with the pregame. We're on at 8:30, regardless of whether or not the game ends with the postgame show. And guys, Dodger fans, Matt Kemp is on the verge of an 8-year contract to stay with the Dodgers.
Really? Yeah. That's great news. Wow. Fantastic. All right. Late breaking. Thank you, Andrew. Always a pleasure, my friend. Have fun on the TV tonight.
Thank you, sir.
6.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. That's one of the bands playing the 22nd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. We announced it earlier this morning. Bush, Chevelle, Incubus, Blink-182, Newfound Glory, Social D, 311, Young the Giant. Tickets go on sale Wednesday at 10 a.m. for K-Rock Street Team members. Go to krock.com for details.
Ralph Garman is here. Time for our final look at the Showbiz Beat on a Monday Kevin and Bean Show. And you promise juicy audio for us this hour, Ralph.
Yes, but before I get to that, I've got some tickets to give away. Fandango gift cards. These, of course, can be used at Fandango.com, a great website where you can get information about the movies and find out where they're playing locally to you and buy your tickets as well. So if you'd like a Fandango gift card, along with the Blu-ray DVD combo pack of the movie Super 8 by J.J. Abrams, very entertaining film that I enjoyed enormously, which is available everywhere November the 22nd, we will give it to you today. Plus the Fandango gift card right now if your caller is number one and number two at 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call if you'd like to win, courtesy of me and the Showbiz Beat.
Tasty, I'm in. Where do I get tickets?
There are no tickets to get. I pretty much explained what you need to do in order to win. It is Monday. That means top 10 movies at the box office. We talk about it every Monday morning. Immortals was number one, $32 million. Made it number one. Jack and Jill in its debut, $26 million.
Wait a minute. Did you say Jack and Jill, $26
million? Yeah, I did.
Huh.
Yeah. Huh. What if these people are on Fandango.com right now trying to buy their tickets for Lego the Movie? Same people went to see Jack and Jill. What's wrong with you people? Why would you do that? Why would you choose? Are you in some sort of domestic violence situation where you have to get out of your house and going to see a movie was the only possible answer and that was the only movie showing?
Why that one? Yeah, okay.
Maybe they live near one of those theaters just has one screen. I can't comprehend what in your life could be so bad that you would choose to go see Jack and Jill over it, whatever you were doing.
Maybe it's a punishment or something like that. Maybe you killed
lost
a man and this is what
you
this, is what,
a man, the, and the
this
judge...
is what the state is making you do.
Yeah, very funny friend of mine named Jensen tweeted this weekend because it was Veterans Day on Friday.
Sure.
So he said, please, let's not forget those people who have dedicated everything, put everything on the line for us, who have suffered, and we must keep them in our thoughts. And by that, I mean the people who are going to see Jack and Jill on opening day. God bless them. Puss in Boots was third. Tower Heist was fourth. J. Edgar was fifth. A Very Harold and Kumar 3D Christmas was sixth in time. Paranormal Activity 3, Footloose, and Real Steel rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. The video that Bean was alluding to was Courtney Love this weekend at a Brazilian music festival. Saturday night, she was performing in front of a crowd with her band Hole, and someone in the audience had the gall, the unmitigated gall, to hold up a picture of Kurt Cobain. Now, what Kurt Cobain could have to do with Courtney Love, I have no idea. I can't see a connection between the two of them whatsoever.
They were married.
What?
Yeah, they were.
Well, then it makes perfect sense.
They were married.
That a Kurt fan might bring a picture along and show his love for her ex, her late husband, by showing a picture of him.
And did Courtney say,
Courtney did not appreciate that gesture. She didn't say, oh, wow, that's sweet. There's my husband. Yeah, I miss him too. No, she did not take that in that spirit that was intended. Rather, this was her reaction to the photo in the audience.
You know, I don't need to see a picture of Kurt, asshole. And I'm going to have you removed if you keep throwing that up. I'm not Kurt. I have to live with this ghost, this kid, every day. Throwing that up is stupid and rude. And I'm going to beat the out of you. Do it again. You know what? You weren't married to him. I was. You didn't get kicked out of a band by him like Dave. He did. Go see the Foo Fighters and do that.
Yeah.
Great. We'll leave now.
Yeah.
You.
She flips off the audience and walks off
stage.
You guys
want to see Courtney back?
Sorry? Did you want me to stop that?
Yeah, I'm sorry. She flips off the audience, walks off stage, refuses to perform, so one of her members of her band comes back on stage and explains to the audience what it will take to get her back to finish her set.
Do you guys want to see Courtney back? All right, then repeat after me after three. The Foo Fighters are gay. One, two, three.
I don't care what you listen to at home, but a guy takes money off my kid's table.
Yeah, that was a thinly veiled jab at Dave Grohl. Although, when I think about it, who burned through all of Kurt Cobain's money, I don't think it was Dave.
Who could that have been?
Who could have been taking food off your kid's table by sticking it in her veins and in her nose and just peeing it all away? Who could have done that? Who's the one that his kid isn't talking to anymore? Who's Kurt Cobain's daughter? Who's she not talking to anymore? I can't remember.
That would be Courtney Love.
That'd be Courtney Love. Yeah. So I don't think maybe Dave Grohl is the source of all of your problems, Courtney Love.
Bitch got no class.
I'm just guessing. I don't know the situation. It's just an outsider's, observer's opinion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I forgive me for not keeping up on this, but what's her accusation about Dave? Why does she think Dave has somehow cost her money?
Oh,
I don't even understand where that's coming from.
Sorry, hold on just a second. Are you applying logic to Courtney Love?
You're looking for a rational point of view from Courtney Love?
Would you like to withdraw your question now?
No, I mean,
She's
trying to understand it because, Dave has certainly cooperated with all of the 20th anniversary Nevermind stuff and been doing promotion for it and selling it and the whole deal. I mean, it didn't seem like he's done anything but continue to keep Nirvana alive and healthy.
Money off of her kid's table. I don't know why. Who's putting money on the table anyway? You should put food on the table. Put money in the bank.
That's true.
Courtney also said that she's angry at the gremlins who were stealing all of her guitar picks.
Is that right?
Yeah. Wow. And those unicorns backstage who keep drinking all the Fiji water. Apparently she was also furious with those.
She is the craziest person in the world.
Look at the time, Courtney. Aren't you well overdue for a drug overdose? She's hideous.
Look, I like her very much. And
well,
I do not...
can you not after that? She's a peach. She's a peach is what she is.
I like her. I do not wish ill on her, but she definitely has some mental problems, and she needs help. A lot of it.
Yeah. You don't help by not going to her concerts any longer.
She certainly seems to not show up to most of them.
That's true. She's doing half the work, people. It's up to us to do the rest.
You're still going to her shows. You get what you want.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Reverend Run of Run DMC is 47 years old today. Patrick Warburton from The Tick, Seinfeld, Family Guy, and that Rules of Engagement program as well. He does with David Spade. That's on television. He is 47 years old today. Speaking of television, I got a problem with my DirecTV DVR.
Yeah, what's wrong with it?
I don't think it's working properly because I just wanted to double check to make sure that my initial impression was right about that show, Whitney, on NBC.
Yes.
So I recorded that.
Right.
And then I watched it. And then the DirecTV asked me, do you want to delete this program? And I said, yes. And it's still on NBC. I don't understand. Isn't that supposed to?
No, I don't think you control the entire network.
Well, it asked me, do you want to delete the program? And I assumed it meant from existence, right?
No, just from your DVR.
Oh, I don't get sort of carte blanche across the board?
No, I don't think so.
Well, America's much poorer for that fact. Maybe we need to get the...
I'm not positive that's true.
DirecTV people
I should
to work
be in
on.
Charge of that.
Oh, there we go.
Uh-huh.
Travis Barker of Blink-182 is 36 years old today. And our very own Bean Baxter celebrates his birthday today, but don't bring it up because he doesn't celebrate it. He gets very upset.
He does not celebrate his birthday.
I'm a well-known Jehovah's Witness. Come on, you guys.
He doesn't like his birthday.
He doesn't. He doesn't like it
at
all.
He likes all other numbers,
except
for 11, 14.
Yep.
Does not like it.
Yep.
People like good phone numbers.
They do.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, we're going to talk to Dr. Mo about this crazy rugby player story. I don't know if you saw this, but there's a rugby player that...
Smells fishy to me.
To me, too.
I don't buy it.
Got knocked out, went into a coma, woke up gay. Now,
and the Daily Mail, it's not like the London Times or something either, you know?
It's a shaky paper.
It's just smacks of hoax to me.
Yeah, me too.
But and he ended up being a hairdresser and everything. There's so many stereotypes in this story.
That's what I think.
I don't buy it either, but I am fascinated with how the brain works and the things that we learn about people who have had head injuries, and then they learn to speak another language, or they learn to paint and they couldn't paint before, or all sorts of crazy stuff happens. It doesn't seem to me like it could change your sexuality, but that's why we're going to an expert. That's why, rather than us just guessing, let's talk to a dude who would
thinking.
Know.
I finally found a way to come out of the closet.
Ow! I hurt my head!
Hi, Sailor.
Also, tomorrow we have Max Greenfield, who is on The New Girl. Oh, by Schmidt.
Love me some Schmidt.
Love that girl's that show. And
last
week
was so funny.
That's a great show.
He's trying to pick up on the model.
Yep.
And he's afraid of the bird cat. There's a cat on that roof. What are you, afraid of a cat? It was raised by birds.
And we have Ask a Porn Star tomorrow
what?
Morning. Yeah, we have Katie Morgan coming into the studio.
I love me some Katie.
Give you a chance to ask a porn star tomorrow morning on an all-new...